dogs. Sucks on a daily basis.
White pussy boy suburban humor.
You're listening to the Opie and Anthony Show.
Aren't we supposed to be trying to gain listeners, guys?
No!
The Opie and Anthony Show.
Is that a surprise to you?
Can I speak for Mr.
This is he.
How you doing? My name is Jisette, and I'm calling from...
What's happening, Jisette?
How you doing?
All right.
My name is Jisette, and I'm calling from... happen to be facing.
Right on, Jisette.
And the purpose of my call is to tell you about a service that we are providing for homeowners.
Oh! Oh, man, that hurt! Oh! Damn! Oh! Oh, you still there, Jisette?
Yes.
Oh, sorry about that. I just burnt my hand on the stove. Ow! Fuck! All right. Sorry about that.
I'm sure you would agree that the kitchen is one of the most important rooms in your home.
I would totally agree on that.
How old is your kitchen cabinet?
I'm about 25 years old.
That's a long time.
Yeah.
Would you be interested?
Close the door on my hand. Of the cabinet, actually. Oh. Sorry, go ahead.
Would you be interested in our service?
I'm interested in a painkiller at this moment in time. Jisette, where are you located?
Well, my office is located in Palm Bay.
Do you have anyone in the area? Because I could really use some beer.
Excuse me?
I could use some beer.
Well, we don't supply that.
Well, I'm in pain. I need some beer.
Well...
anyone in the area, maybe they could come over and show us what this whole cabinet thing is all about and get me some beer.
Well, what I could do is send a qualified expert to your home.
That's not a bad idea.
Excuse me?
Okay, continue.
What I could do is I could send a qualified expert to your home, and they could take a look at your kitchen cabinets. They could...
oh, God!
That is
bugging
out.
Hello, Jisette.
Ah, yeah.
It's all about fun today.
Bam.
Fun, fun, fun. Bam. Fun for everyone. Bam. What the hell? It's Friday. Woo! People want to have fun today, Anthony.
Yeah, at least we've had a half an hour to wind down. That's nice.
10-6-9-er, 10-6-9-er, we got whores in the city. We need backup now.
I don't care how many Dago, Guinea, Watt, Greaseball, Goombas come out of the woodwork.
Well, let me tell you something, my crunk Mick friend.
I love that guy.
Play the other one.
That was this one.
She was the greatest piece of ass I've ever had, and I've had them all over the world.
Why are you saving your best clip?
Which one?
You know.
Because I don't have it.
I told Rick, he said he can't find it on his computer.
You don't have... You can act like a man!
That's the one I want.
You can act like a man!
I gave it to you. It was on my desktop.
See, now you're doing it wrong.
Well, that's why...
You could act like a man. Let me in. Are there babes in there?
Yeah.
Then let me in. See, I do walking. I do walking.
You then, like movies about gladiators.
Then let me in.
A couple phone numbers in the New York area, 877-692-1027. Anywhere else, give us a call if you're outside of New York. Use this number, 866-277-4WOW.
Yeah.
I think our boss quit today, but I'm not sure.
Do we have...
I think we worked things out, but I'm not really sure. Did he quit or do we work things out?
I think both.
Both at the same time happened?
I got to tell you, I've never, ever seen him as pissed off as he was today. Oh, my God. He was mad on the phone yesterday, but today, oh, man. I stayed in the city last night.
Well, we did the Hooters thing last night.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about that in a little bit here. But
so I stayed in, you know, and I get a call at like 12:30. And I'm two blocks away. You know, usually I'm home or on my way in. It's Jeremy. He goes, Ken's made a special trip to New York. He wasn't supposed to be here today to meet with you guys, to have a meeting. I was like, okay, I'll be in 10 minutes. I'm right around the corner. Is Opie there? Yeah. It's not going to be a yelling meeting. I was like, oh, okay, that's good.
Wrong, dragging the mess.
Liar.
It was civil for about 3 seconds.
But then I think we got some things accomplished.
Yeah.
At one point, he picked up luggage and said, I'm out of here.
He slammed the table.
Why did he have luggage?
I swear to God, it was Ken Stevens in the Def Comedy Jam. He was cursing, slammed his hand on the table. That's it. I quit. He left. And we're sitting there going, wait a minute.
And we're just,
the boss doesn't quit. You fire us. He can't just leave. I was upset when he said, I have tape of what he said to me, and I was a little offended.
I don't care how many Dago, Guinea, what greaseball goombas come out of the woodwork.
And then he addressed Opie.
Well, let me tell you something, my crunk Mick friend.
I've never been more uncomfortable in my life.
Oh, my God.
And I love being uncomfortable. I think we know that by now. But
so Ken was storming out.
The best part, though, there was a little humor involved with his quitting.
Why?
Because he was carrying luggage.
He was leaving.
And it was like a lot of luggage. Because you know he wanted to use his hands to make his point, but he couldn't because he was holding heavy luggage.
He made a special trip to come to New York, so he had his luggage with him. He came right from the airport. And, man, when he passed by Ben came in like, what happened? He had this shell-shocked look on his face.
We're like, I don't know.
He goes, I went to hold the door for Ken, but he looked too pissed off. He looked too pissed to want to hold the door for him? Actually, I didn't need to hold it. He ripped it off the hinges as he left.
And then, he grabbed his luggage, and then we're just sitting in his office going, now what? Now what do we do? And then I'm starting to think, I think we're really running the place now.
Yeah. Hey, someone's suggesting we should play Bang on the Drum all day and let him go bang, 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 to get it out of his system, the crazy Bang Bang Friday bit.
So then, and then he had to awkwardly walk back in with his really heavy luggage.
Yeah.
So we could sort some things out.
You know, I don't know why he was coming back. I think he was coming back to, like, get something.
And then we just happened to still be in his office because we were shell-shocked and we didn't know what to do.
Shell-shocked. And, yeah, then we had to sit down for a little longer, kind of hash it out after.
Hash some things out.
After some,
And then after lunch, I go back into his office and he wasn't there. His luggage was on the couch that the couple had the anal on. That couch is still in there for whatever reason.
Yeah, I'd have gotten rid of that.
I guess he likes to be reminded of it or something. I don't know. And then there was like kind of a cutout in his glass.
It was Ken Stevens-shaped break through the glass in the office.
In his window on the ninth floor.
I think he jumped.
I'm not really sure.
Oh, my God.
He's either safely on a train somewhere or he's splattered outside the Brooklyn Diner right now.
I have never seen him that mad in my life. That rivaled how pissed off Dave Dickless was
the last time we ever talked to him.
AF up in Massachusetts when when he got all pissed off about the pie throwing thing after the mayor incident. He was so mad, but that rivals that.
Really fast. He wanted to.
Yeah, we said the mayor was dead. I think everybody pretty much knows that story up in Boston. And his great idea was that we to patch things over with the mayor was that we would get in the old-fashioned stocks where you put your head and your arms through it, like the old New England days, and the mayor would throw pies at our face. Ho-ho! Yeah. And then when we got on the air and started talking about how there is no way in hell we're getting in stocks and letting the mayor throw pies, he called up and said, I arranged this thing to try to make good, to keep your jobs, and you don't go on the air saying you're not doing that!
He was Mommy Dearest.
Oh, he was.
Tina! Clean up this mess! Because it started off slow.
Yeah.
And built to a crescendo.
So that was the last time any boss figure got that mad at us. And then, oh my God. When Ken punched the table and said he was leaving, I was like, uh-oh. Here's some trouble now.
I think we worked something out, though.
He says, I've had it. He said, I've had it. F you, F this, F me, F everything. The F word flying out of his mouth. I swear to God. Never heard him like that. But we worked everything.
But then
out.
He came back in, right, Ant?
He did.
We should tell the fine folks that he came back in, and I think we agreed that we need each other.
Yeah, you know what? I think he realized going down the halls, like, what the hell is this going to, you know? Actually, we do. We have clips of when he did come back into the office.
As we're just sitting
we were
there
taping
in
it.
Shock,
yeah. We're sitting there in shock. He came in, threw his bags down, and I believe this was what he said.
Don't you do it! Don't you! I got nowhere else to go! I got nowhere else to go!
I got nothing else.
Wow.
Then what do you do when the boss is kind of crying in front of you?
You can't, after a statement like that.
You know.
He got in some good shots, though. Remember when he said this?
It's not about you, douchebag.
Oh, well.
So we're going to move on today, are we, Ant?
Yeah, well,
fun.
It's Friday. I refuse to let anything get me pissed off.
Let me tell you something. After the show yesterday, we went down to Hooters with Stephanie, who's in the studio, the winner of the Naughty 90 contest.
Yes.
And we had a lot of fun down there.
Mm-hmm.
And Stephanie, I got to tell you, what a trooper, flashing every single guy that asked.
You know something? It wasn't even like, you know how it's like, I know. You know some girls that do that? They come down here, they flash, and then when we're out or doing a road show or something or just hanging out at the bar, and someone, hey, can you give me a little wow or a flash? Oh, well, I don't. And you got to beg and feel all stupid. You just whip them out. It's great, you know? They're great looking, and she knows it, and she's not afraid to show them.
Not at all.
That was a hint, by the way.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
A little hint.
Yeah, we need to be calm.
See, oh, my God.
See, if you were in
what a soothing sensation.
If she was in the meeting that we had with Ken, I don't think there would have been much yelling going on.
None.
Ken, you're about ready to yell. Wait, Stephanie.
Stephanie, lift up the shirt, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh. All right. God. I forgot what the problem was.
I was mistaken.
I forgot what we were discussing.
What's wrong, Jim?
So nice.
He gets so pissed off at hot girls.
I like
girls.
Her. She's really nice. I'm not mad. She's a very nice girl.
No, not mad at her. You just get upset and annoyed.
It just reminds you of what garbage you really are.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, you just feel your meat breasts and you're like...
See what you do to the guys sometimes?
Sorry.
Yeah. How often are you just getting hit on? Yeah, all the time, right?
How many of those guys hit on you last night?
A few.
Yeah. Are they giving you their business cards?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Ugh.
With cell phone numbers and all that? Yeah.
Why don't you give me a call? I think I could further your career or something with your rear.
Well, we got to thank everyone that went to Hooters last night.
Yeah.
We had a ball.
Yeah, it was great.
It was a nice crowd, man.
Yeah, and a really good time. Everyone was pretty cool, except Norton. My throat, chest, and I am hurting from laughing so hard sitting next to Norton. The guy has no mercy. He's got no conscience. He just, you are ruthless. The people will come up and want to get an autograph, you know, sign a sticker. Or we had beautiful pictures of Stephanie that people were grabbing and having us sign. And Norton is right to my left. People are coming up from my right across the table, and they go, hey, could you sign this, man? I love the show, whatever. And the music was pretty loud, so I could barely hear what the person was saying, and they could barely hear what I'm saying, but we're having a conversation over the music.
And then you do a few nods, like you make believe you can hear type
right.
thing, right?
Norton is just far enough away from our conversation where the guy can't quite hear what he's saying, and he's saying the most offensive, rude, heinous things. Now, I hear what he's saying, but the person doesn't hear. So I'm talking to the guy going, yeah, no, that's really cool. And somebody will be conveying a little story about, you know, they were listening to the show. And Norton's just like, oh, shut up, you effing dick. And just kill yourself. He's making racial remarks. He's like anything he could nail someone with. And to top it off, people go, hey, Norton, I love you. And he's like, oh, thanks, thanks. After he just berated the guy.
Then but the guy can't hear that he was being berated.
Right.
The only one that could hear was
me. So
was
I'm
you.
Dying laughing,
so,
but looking like
Norton
an idiot.
Was pretty much doing it for your for your benefit.
And then he somebody will ask to sign something. He'll put it down in front of Norton and maybe kind of look away or something. Norton writes I and then heart, you know, like love.
Yeah.
He goes I heart C O and then C and then the other letter that he's just writing how he loves it
all over the picture.
All
of
over,
Stephanie.
Yeah. And then that was another thing. Like everyone loved the picture of Stephanie.
Yeah.
And me and Obi were signing around the picture of her, so you get the whole picture.
Right.
Norton grabs it, turns it sideways because she's standing up, starts at her face, ends at her toes, and signs his name over her whole body. And the person just leaves, all pissed off and dejected. And you ruin the
half those people went and got back on the end of the line
and got new pictures and didn't let you sign it that time. He just started her face and signed it down her whole body and destroy the picture.
Yeah.
Which is, again, not a reflection on Stephanie. She's a nice girl. But just the fact that they were going to go home and look at it. Oh, man, that's thick. He signed right over the
and then he's like, all right, step up here, hot C. Right. And he's calling guys hot C. Oh.
But they couldn't hear it. But
no, they can't hear it. It's like, ha-ha, step up here, hot C.
I put down the sticker. It's like, yeah, can I suck your C? He's like, yeah, here, man.
Yeah, yeah. Sign it. He's like, yeah, here, man. He's like, oh, thanks. Yeah. And I'm hearing the whole thing, so I'm crying. I was crying. Lying.
They said about seven guys. They gave us a wow sticker, and it's really loud. I'm like, let me see what you say. And he's like, oh, okay. And
all right.
<he signed it.
laughs> Guy couldn't hear you.
No.
And he'd write, there's a black guy comes up, and Norton writes on his thing, nice big black C. And he gives the thing back to the guy, and the guy goes, thanks, man, and walks away. Like later on, he's going to be looking at it and go, what the? Who wrote that?
Classic.
Norton.
Classic.
Yeah, it was fun, man. It was just goofing on people. Everybody was really cool, though. So
you know what? Yeah. It really felt good to be out in New York. That's the first time in a really long time for us.
Yeah.
And I got to announce it right now. I'm itching for a road show.
Yeah. Last night really got me.
The road shows were getting a little, you know, a little too much. We felt like, you know, we needed to take a break from the road show.
Mm-hmm.
I'm itching. I think we need to do one. Sooner than later, my friend.
Yes.
Got a lot of new things to introduce to find listeners, too.
Imagine a packed club and we're spraying a chick down with lamb blood out of a Super Soaker.
Well, that would be a highlight. We got Frenchie and other things.
Oh, you could have maybe we could have something where you throw pastries at him. Ho ho. Put him in stocks.
maybe we could bring our blind boxing to a road show or our one legged boxing.
Yeah. That'd be fun.
A lot of little things.
Plenty of things.
I'm starting to itch. I'm starting to think about it. What do you think, Ant?
Kick the cane out of away from Patty game. We could do that. I like Phil Dunnigan.
You know what? New York hasn't seen Starker Patty in the Supergirl outfit.
Oh. With her lame cancer haircut. And now her new gimpy leg.
Dude, what's that great thing that they should... the thing that you were talking about doing at the road show where Norton has anal with the contest winner. That was
is that the one? How do you feel about that, Stephanie?
Yeah. Think about that one.
Yeah, think about it.
Know what I'm thinking?
Yeah, roofie or two, you won't even know.
Wake up crying. We're all laughing.
You're all off. Too ashamed to call the cops, you know.
It was my fault.
Yeah, it was.
Oh, God.
Should have locked your window.
Asking for.
So I think we got a road show.
Yeah.
Coming up soon.
Yeah, we'll do that. We'll get that together.
What we'll do with us and the listeners, we'll build a road show.
Yeah.
This time around, we build one.
piece by piece.
Yeah, we kind of throw it out there. What do you guys want to see this time around?
Bit by bit.
I mean, obviously, we got to do the blood thing.
Yeah, that's great.
That's a no-brainer. Mm-hmm. What else do you guys want to see at a road show?
Mm.
And we'll go from there.
Nice.
And we'll book it.
Get back out there.
Stephanie went to gay night after Hooters.
Not intentionally.
Where?
The spa.
This was.
Go to the spa and.
Yeah.
Ended up being gay night.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of guys. Fun.
Ooh.
That's actually a better night though for you and your boyfriend to go, because you're not gonna get hit on the whole night. You guys can hang.
Yeah, he was sweating.
Yeah, he was a little freak to talk to him before the show.
Gay night. Yeah.
Well, yeah, this was the first time you came to New York City, right?
Yes, it is.
So,
oh, boy.
So after Hooters, you guys, did you make it down to Privilege?
Yes, we went to Privilege.
Oh, how did they treat you?
Nice.
Yeah, nice. Yeah. You got some lap dances?
No, I didn't.
No? Why not? The chicks love going on the chicks for the lap dance. They love that.
And I think Stephanie would have enjoyed the lap dance, right?
Might have.
Yeah.
When are you leaving for Washington?
About 2 minutes.
Yeah, you gotta go, huh?
We could get a girl up here like that to give you a lap dance.
You think so?
How hot would that be? Yeah.
Very.
When are you leaving?
Around 4. I'm gonna try to get out
of
here.
Oh my God. We need someone to help us out big time.
One of the girls from one of the clubs.
One of the girls from one of the clubs. You know who you are. If you want to give the lovely Stephanie a lap dance before she leaves at 4, so she has a good memory of New York City, that would be great.
Right.
A big help. So then you went to spa. It was gay night?
Yeah.
Did you see some of the gayness? Or?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Two guys grinding on each other and making out. It's just not what I wanted to see.
No.
You don't see that in Washington?
No.
Hmm.
Girls, they're okay.
And you guys do anything today?
No, we were walking around. Went to Times Square. And that was fun.
All right.
Times Square, yeah. Very touristy.
Yeah.
All right.
Gay night. You know what I saw the other night on HBO? That just, we've talked about this in the
Queer's
past.
Just
now that's Showtime. I don't know how to know stop it. I was watching one of the HBO Real Sex episodes.
I love the Real Sex
and,
episodes.
And it was one of the things we talk about on this show all the time. It's the funniest goddamn thing. When they bring a group of people together
to get naked,
and talk about,
was it the mud
like,
one?
No, it was the tantric sex one.
Oh yeah,
it's always some slob woman that is an authority and gets these dumb couples together to teach them about this certain whatever type of sex it is. This time it was tantric sex. You know, the sex that's supposed to last for hours and hours and hours and hours. And the funniest thing was they have this old guy. This guy's like well into his 50s. He's a businessman. And he's wearing his little glasses. He's completely naked with his aging woman. And he's like, yes, I'm a CEO at a very successful corporation. And his yam bag is down to his kneecaps. And I'm just thinking, what guy can now walk into his company after he's been on HBO with his gray yam bag hanging down to his knees?
I don't think that HBO is going to catch on in. I don't think he has anything to worry about.
You think it was one of those things where no one's going to see this? It's a stupid little
who's
thing. It's
see
very
this?
Freeing for me,
right,
as a matter of fact. And then they have him, and he's interacting with the guys. Like, they're giving each other these massages. So he's laying on his stomach, and there's some old broad behind him pushing in his ass cheeks.
Ugh.
Like, she's pushing hard and
kneading, like,
yeah, like push, starting at the thighs, pushing up like over the ass and then onto the back and laying. Yeah, that's what he looked like. And laying down on top of him and then going back and forth. And she's got her eyes shut and she's like, and they all got a moan. It's disgusting. This old guy is sitting there, and every time she like got to his butt and pushed, the CEO of this company is going, oh,
A crumpet muncher.
And I'm looking like, oh. And then there's they're not even like the young, hot couple. They're just like, I guess the best out of the bunch. And all the guys want to have an interaction with his girl. They're out in the woods, because for some reason you got to bring naked old people out into the woods for this freeing experience. They're standing in a line front to back with each other. Front to back.
And some of the guys are up against guys. And they're doing this wave thing.
That's so where you could be more comfortable about your sexuality.
That's what it is. It doesn't matter if a man's junk. It doesn't matter if a man's junk is in my crack. I'm secure with my masculinity.
Yeah, but what if you don't have a guy behind you? That's not right either.
What?
Nothing.
Oh. And they're doing this wave thing. Like, say you're standing in a line and you're front to back with a bunch of people, and then you move your arms forward. And as you do that, you all arch your back. And then you move your arms back and you bend forward. So they're, in essence, humping each other in this big, long line of people that are like, well, I'm a CEO of a corporation. Then you have the other, you know, the hippie guy. We sell herbs in a small herb shop.
I'm a history teacher.
I'm a high school math teacher, and me and my wife thought, you know, we've had many sexual experiences, but we thought this would enlighten our sexuality. Who's going to let their kid go to this guy's class?
Yeah.
Be honest with you, I probably would.
Really?
Yeah.
And now, okay, for the best, here's another lesson for tantric sex. Run around in the woods naked and all the men just play grab ass with each other. Just play grab ass. Do you think this woman just stands there and goes, I can't believe I'm getting these people to do this?
The best one was that we've talked about many times in the show, the retreat.
No.
They go as couples. But then they want each side to learn about their sexuality and be a little more comfortable with their sexuality. So they put the guys over here and the girls over here. And the girls have this just crazy orgy. Remember? Yeah. They're all like touching each other and stuff.
And giving each other the O's.
Now
that's
hot, right? Well, there's another side of this. The guys are in the middle of the woods in one big naked hug.
Yeah. They're all piled on each other, hugging and humming. Oh. Oh. Oh, you're watching like, who the hell is doing this? They're in the mud. They're playing. I remember
the mud
two
one,
guys.
The mud one's hilarious, too. But in that one, it was all the couples jumping into a big, huge mud pit. And then they kind of had...
They're rubbing mud on each other.
Yeah, which it was almost an orgy, but it was just they're rubbing mud on everyone.
Chili dog.
Yeah.
Chili dog.
That real sex is hilarious.
It is so funny. And you watch it going, who in the hell agreed to do this? I can understand if you're a porn star or someone that just doesn't care. But these are people like, yeah, I'm a teacher. I work in the financial district down there. Okay. Who's not going to the next day say, hey, I saw you on Real Sex. Great job. Saw your yam bag.
Yeah.
Saw that guy plowing your chick.
Yeah.
It was great.
You know, and when they had those, like, where they all get naked in a room with the old lady kind of explaining things.
Yeah.
They always gravitate to the one hot chick.
Yeah. Well, most of them.
They all start off kind of polite, like, okay, well, you know, I'll touch this one a little bit. And then they all discover, wow, there is one hot chick here.
There was, on the same episode, they were in Denmark somewhere, and... there was a place that you go that has a bunch of different rooms. Some of them look like the exteriors of houses.
One.
Yeah. And people go into these rooms.
It's like a sex palace or whatever.
Yeah.
Every room has something different.
Different. And the people go into these rooms. Yeah. One looked like the outside of a house. And people would go in and have sex on couches or whatnot. And other people would stand by peeping in the windows of this fake house, jacking it. As they're watching people have... Yeah, it's called Norton's House. That was right. That's what it was called. Norton's Home.
I like the peep thing.
And then there
I like
was...
that too, actually.
Well, that's pretty cool, but you know what? The
there
fact
was
of the matter
you
is...
the streets of Manhattan, and you get a nice, you know, eyeful.
You go to the sex palace to peep in the window. The second you bent over to look in the window, there's a guy plowing your egg. So, maybe that isn't what you're looking for. There was something
they
called...
They had, like, sex chairs hanging from the ceiling and
yeah,
stuff?
Yeah, everything.
Yeah.
There was something called the dark room. It was a room with no light, no cracks, no windows, nothing. You walk in, and it was like a double door thing where you walk in and close the door and then open the other door so there's never light in there. And you get in, and you don't know who's in there doing what. All of a sudden, you're just hanging out, and your C's being grabbed, but you don't know who it is. It's called Norton's Room. That's what it is. That's what they called it. So, but the thing is, you don't know if it's a guy grabbing your junk. That'd be a great thing if, like, you knew that girls like Stephanie maybe are in this room, and you walk in, it's pitch black, and all of a sudden you're like, oh, hey, there's a fine how do you do? You know, you're getting a little.
But it's never like that, though. It's some 55-year-old woman that's trying to rediscover her sexuality or something.
Or some dump guy with a sweater.
No, you know what I picture in there? Like the retarded Laverne and Shirley.
Right.
I thought it would be fun and exciting, and I hadn't had sex in a while, and it's a rediscovering of my sexuality. How are you?
They need loving, too.
So I figured it was going to be fun because the dye's going, so I thought I'd go in there. I'd go in the dark room so no one could see me. I actually, you know what, the last time people saw me naked, I have a tail, and I was going to Tokyo.
Shaped like Godzilla himself.
She was the hit of Hooters last night, though.
Did you see the pants she had on? They were stretch pants. Although any pants she puts on are stretching to the limit.
They were stretched to the limit.
They were stretch pants. She turned around and walked away from that table, and I got a look at Marion's ass like I've never seen before.
We got to ask her about her limp. She limps a little bit.
If you were carrying around that ass, your legs would limp, too. Yeah,
might be the huge pocketbook that she carries everywhere.
Really?
Yeah, I think it'll lean to the side a little bit.
It's just a little like Clay Shaw limp. It's not like a completely horrible. It's like a.
Yeah.
It's still my heart.
Greg, what's going on?
What's up, guys?
Hey. Hold on.
Yeah, for some reason, they don't like the word, that
right.
word.
Oh, my God. Hold on.
Sorry about that.
No, well, we could still say, we just have to change the
yeah,
word.
It's yeah, it's the real real sex self-pleasuring episode.
Kids are
yeah.
That was pretty
all
much
right.
it.
Kids.
Yeah.
Imagine five lady dies, and then five hippie old 60-year-old men all sitting around.
That's what it is. They're all like old hippies.
Yeah, it's the most disgusting thing.
Yeah, hippie.
There's nothing hot about it.
They, it was teaching about self-pleasuring.
Yeah.
So all these women are laying down on their backs, their knees up, and they're being instructed by another old hippie woman that runs this thing. And I just wonder how much money these people cough up for this.
Yeah.
You know? This is probably a nice chunk of change to go to this retreat and sit around and get in touch with your sexual side. And they're using toys. They're using their hands. And all it is a bunch of, like he said, old hippie women going, You can only imagine how bad the room stank.
Like old, musky, stank
ass smell.
Like wet socks.
Ugh. You're on to something today?
Yeah.
An underlying theme of the show today. Give us your bad moan. your bad real sex old guy moan.
Oh. And the guys are like, yeah, the guys are jacking.
Yeah.
And it's just like they're getting in touch with their sexuality. It's a room full of guys just go, oh. And the woman's like, just keep going, relax, and remember, it's your sexuality. No inhibitions. Just go change speeds because that's, That's good, good. Good, Jim. You're doing... Now, remember...
Like he said.
Utilize all of yourself.
Yeah.
Use both hands. You're doing a good job. Yeah, that's good. Don't forget that spot.
Right.
And do that. Get in touch. Use your whole body and arm. Change speeds. Grab at the bottom. Now, slowly go to the top. Like they just wounded an elk.
The worst part about the whole thing.
No, guys. You ever gone hunting and you get the guy that just wounds the elk? Look, I got a good shot, and you know it's not a good shot, and he hit. And you feel bad until you put that last slug in his head. But they're making noises like you never see a moose make or an elk. It's the same thing with the guys. Keep moving. Okay, all of you, slow down now. Nice, slow, steady pace. Increase the speed. Now move to the top and faster, faster. There's the CEO from Enron.
Right.
The worst part about it is these guys don't even, this is what they like to do. They don't like to have sex.
And you know who that guy was, Anthony?
Who is that?
Our own Ken Steele.
Was that Ken getting in touch with?
I had to loosen up
a little bit after my meeting.
Yeah, I think after the meeting you had with us, he's going to one of those retreats.
Yeah.
To get back to nature. All right.
Yeah.
We're just getting started here today.
I'd recommend watching those, though, because they are really funny.
But the geniuses that make money at that, to get a bunch of guys to play with their mules and pay you to teach them. Grab, pull, repeat.
How hard is it to do? It's the first thing you learn as a kid. Old broad telling me how to do it.
It's the second thing you learn. First thing you learn is secret keeping.
Jerry!
Make the uncle's knuckle disappear.
How much of the show did you watch there, buddy? What did you do, take notes?
I'll tell you the truth, Jerry. I watched the whole goddamn thing.
It
is so friggin' funny.
I'll be honest, man. I don't care how gay, and I'm using gay in a different way here, how gay real sex becomes, I have to watch the whole damn thing when it's on.
It's hysterically funny, and you cannot fathom why they're doing it.
Right.
And why they need some old hippie broad to teach them how to jack.
What about while we're watching it?
Any moans of pleasure out of a 60-year-old man.
The other real sex episode that I really enjoyed was when they went to that factory in Asia.
Oh, the dildo factory.
The dildo factory.
That was good. I saw them making the real sex dolls the other day, too.
That's really
on that
good.
One. That was good. They're molding the up. And then the couple. See, we're never going to get out of this.
The factory, though, where they had the old Chinese ladies.
Yeah.
You know, painting up the.
I saw that one.
You saw that one?
Yeah.
Making it nice and pink. And
yeah, they were painting realistic, veins and whatnot on it.
And for some reason, they have to. God, how can I explain this on the air? They have to do this to each.
Oh, they're twisting it. It's like they're playing with it.
Right.
But they had to rough it up a little.
And then they just toss it aside into a big bin. There's like hundreds of them in there. Like, just.
Like it's nothing. Oh, quick Yankee cranky.
Just throwing a guy's manhood aside.
Throw into bin.
Those big mules should come with like a plastic hand you can put on your neck.
You know what? We can continue after the break.
Yeah, because I got to talk about the real sex doll and one of the customers that bought it. It's ridiculous. It was a couple. And
they propped it up and all that?
Yeah.
That one? Yeah.
Having their threesome.
And there's a lot of people that want to comment about it. So if you're on hold, stay there. Stephanie's here, the winner of the Naughty Nighty contest. She's leaving for Washington in about 20 minutes. People were calling with some of the things that Jim wrote on their Stephanie picture last night. I couldn't get to them. Maybe they'll call back. Also, is Curdled Milk Girl here?
Not yet, but she's on the way.
Ooh. She said she's on the way?
That's what we last heard.
Gotta drink some curdled milk.
How long has the milk been staying
it's been
out?
Been curdling for a little while.
It doesn't sound that outrageous, but it's...
What?
On the outside, when you think of a girl scooping lamb brains out of a lamb's skull, But you think curdled milk, all right, I think... But when you really think about it, it is the most heinous thing you could put in your mouth.
To put it over the top, we got a nice big lemon that we're going to squeeze into it.
Yeah, that curdles it up in a second.
Does it really?
Oh, my God. There will be lumpy, clumpy bits of white creaminess.
And she said she'll...
somehow you don't look that disgusted at that description.
No. How do you have to reach and get them off your back?
She said...
Except your money.
She said that she'll chug the curdled milk to get into the 55-gallon jump challenge.
There you go.
And I think today is pretty much the last day of qualifying because we're running out of spots, and I think we're going to try to do the 55-gallon jump challenge a week from today, Anthony.
Yes.
Hopefully we'll have details on that. Also on the way, really fast, we got to talk about Madden on Monday Night Football.
Uh-huh.
Paul Mercurio stopping by. Pablo Francisco checking in to say hi. I think he's playing Cleveland. Real funny guy. And the story of the day, Richard Nixon wanted to nuke Vietnam.
You got to love...
That's an hour and a half of radio.
Got to love Dick Nixon.
As we go to break, it's the Well Doggy mix that a lot of people enjoy, eh?
Use it or lose it. I don't know, it's so... Well Doggies, Well Doggies, Well Doggies, Well Doggies, yeah Doggies, yeah Doggies, yeah Doggies, yeah Doggies, oh Doggies, oh Doggies, oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah, oh.
Is that supposed to be sexy?
I I'm sorry.
Hey, Will Doggy to you.
The Opie and Anthony Show.
Make it touch her.
Coming soon, the return of the 55-gallon drum challenge on the Opie and Anthony Show. N-E-W. The Opie and Anthony Show.
1027 WNEW.
For the Opie and Anthony Show. Stephanie, the winner of the Naughty 90 contest, who's been hanging with us for the last 2 days. She's going to be leaving in about 10 minutes. She's on the stinky cam right now. Maybe we could get her to flash for everyone at home, Anthony.
All right.
We'd have to time this.
Oh, I could do it.
You could do it?
I get the auto click.
Click.
All right, Steph, you're going to have to give us a nice smile and a nice flash when Ann tells you to, all right? Then you guys can go to opieandanthony.com and see Stephanie in the studio.
Take a picture. It lasts longer. Okay. Click.
All right, anytime you're ready. Just show and then hold so it's a great, nice, clear shot. Hold on.
How are they so perfect?
And that is
hey.
It.
Hey.
That's a good shot, huh?
Hey, who's the stripper?
Nice.
Very nice. Let me,
now I got to pop up the stinky cam to see it myself. Where the hell is it? There it is.
We got it.
Let me go through this disclaimer. Yes.
Wow-wee. Yeah, we got a perfect shot. Kelly is lost. Kelly, what's up?
Hi.
It's Opie and Anthony. We got you on the air. Where are you?
Oh, no. You got me on the air?
You're going to be on the air later, right?
Get a hold of yourself. You?
Yeah.
Where are you?
I just passed 40 seconds or 44th and Vernon.
What? 40?
I've got no idea where the hell I'm at.
44th and Vernon?
Yeah, I passed your guys' place up somehow, Vernon. And then I ended up trying to get back to you guys.
Get a hold of yourself, would you? It must just be a renamed avenue. Simmer down. Are you in Manhattan?
I don't know.
You don't know if you're in Manhattan?
I bet she's in Brooklyn.
I don't know where the hell I am.
Where were you calling? Where were you coming from?
Cleveland.
Oh, okay.
Whoops. Whoopsie.
did you go over a bridge or
yes,
through
I
a
did.
Tunnel? What bridge?
It said some Queensboro lower.
Oh, you're in Queens.
I bet you
went right through.
Yeah, it's good. You probably went right through Manhattan.
You're probably in Queens then.
Oh, great.
Because if you probably went right through Manhattan.
Someone on the instant feedback, tell us where 44th and Vernon?
Oh, wait, I see a sign for 495.
Okay.
Wait a minute. 495 is the Long Island Expressway.
Yeah. Take
Queens
that.
Midtown Tunnel.
Yes, go through the Midtown Tunnel.
Does it look like there's a big backup earlier? There was a huge backup.
I don't know. I haven't gotten there yet.
No, that's what you do.
Wait. Make sure she knows she's going Queens Midtown Tunnel. Make sure she didn't go through Queens. She might have come around.
No, that's what
Queens.
I'm saying. I'm saying go west. And go Midtown Tunnel into New York City, into Manhattan.
Wait, she might be just over the 59th Street Bridge.
In New York. She might be in Manhattan and might have come in through Queens.
No, if you come from Cleveland,
she's in.
No, wait. And you end up on over the Queens
Bridge. I went right through the city.
She's in Long Island City right now.
Yes.
Oh,
Now, go through the Midtown Tunnel.
Okay, I have to get there first.
But is it easier for her to go back over the bridge?
No, go through the goddamn tunnel.
The old tunnel opens right there.
Hey, Kelly, what are you doing on our show today?
You guys are supposed to throw me in some kind of trash bin.
Oh, you're the dumpster?
Yeah, the dumpster
diving chick?
Oh, yeah.
Boy.
Did we scout out a good, nice dumpster?
Hey, do I go 495 east or west?
West.
Okay.
Go west.
West.
Okay.
I can't believe you missed New York City.
How do you
fly through it?
I drove right through it.
Yeah, that's what I mean. How are you in Manhattan and not know you're there?
Didn't you see all the big, pretty buildings?
I did
buildings?
Know I'm there. Yeah. I passed you guys up.
The skyscrapers didn't tip you off yet?
Yes, it did.
The Empire State Building wasn't a clue?
I knew I was there. I just missed you guys. drive.
You missed the biggest city in the world.
Wait. You knew.
No, I missed your building.
Wait, you know
you, you missed the borough of Manhattan.
Oh, come on.
She said she knew she was there. But why didn't you stop? You just kept going.
I was going to try to get back.
She panicked on us.
So she ended up going all the way down 57th, probably.
Didn't realize you were...
Yeah, and then I tried to turn left to go back up.
And ended up on the 59th. I know exactly where she went.
57th to look for you guys again.
She made that left off of 57th that goes right onto the Queensboro Bridge.
Yeah, exactly.
And ended up going over... And now you're stuck on the bridge.
Exactly. I'm stuck somewhere that is not a pretty city.
No, Long Island City is...
No, very industrial over there. There's a lot of things going on.
I passed some housing development. Oh, my God.
Ah, well, just don't stop.
Yeah.
You could probably pick up a hooker in that area if you're...
Yeah.
All right.
You can, actually, on 10th Avenue here in Manhattan, too, in the 40s.
Yeah, there you go.
We have audio of somebody that she stopped and asked for directions.
Ooh.
No, you don't.
You, ladies.
Interesting.
Can you find your way back to the bridge, or are you just going to go
tunnel.
The tunnel?
Hey.
I'm going through the Midtown Tunnel.
Yeah, there you go.
It's 350.
No, have her go through the
all right.
Tunnel. You got the 350 toll?
Yeah, I do.
Are you on your way to the tunnel at this point?
I think so.
Are you on 495 heading west?
No.
Oh,
not yet.
Oh, boy.
Well, do you follow the signs for it?
Yes.
So what are you doing?
I'm working my way there.
Okay.
All right.
How do you pass Manhattan?
I cannot even figure out how.
I don't get it.
It's an island with just...
I didn't pass it. I drove right through it.
How do you plow through Manhattan and go, oh, my God, I wasn't paying attention.
Oh, wait, maybe that was it.
I missed the biggest city. I missed it. I missed a city that has a landmark building that everyone in the world knows, the Empire State Building.
But you're not in the Empire State Building.
Yeah, but you can see, you know it, that you're in Manhattan when you see the building.
What, did you think you would drive east until you hit water and a sign saying, here's the O&A show?
Exactly. That's exactly what I thought.
It really is impossible to pass Manhattan.
57th, it goes from one end to the other.
It's an island that just has thousands of skyscrapers. And if you cross over water...
I only see signs for 495 east now.
West.
Okay, I'm still looking for it.
All right, you know what? We should punish her and send her to Harlem right now.
No, don't do that.
let's send her uptown. Yeah.
This is bad enough.
Yeah, she's
I don't want to go that way.
Our studio is right next to the Apollo Theater.
125th and Broadway. 125th.
I think our studio is...
495
West. Well, MLK. Yeah, you go up to 125th and you ask where the Spook Building is.
Oh, God.
Oh, okay.
Oh, my God.
What is wrong with you?
What? Just trying to get her.
And 495 is on 50th?
No,
right?
Just take, no, forget 50th. It doesn't exist. Take 495 to the big hole. You pay the toll, you go through the big hole, and it magically puts you back in Manhattan.
Then you'll be back in Manhattan.
Then you'll be around 1st or 2nd Avenue. Then you have to go over to either 3rd. You have to work your way up to 57th, make a left on 57th, and take that directly because the streets go. It goes 3rd and like Madison and Park and then Lexington, blah, 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 all the way
up. You are so confusing. It's a grid.
Totally.
It's a grid system. So just work it. If you end up at 2nd and 38th around there or something, just work the grid till you get up to 57th and 7th.
Okay, I'm getting ready to pay now.
Oh, you're in the tunnel?
I'm getting ready to pay for it, yeah.
All right, Kelly, this is what you do. When you get on the other side of the tunnel, give us a call back.
Okay.
All right.
Godspeed.
We're gonna get through this. We're gonna get through this one.
But we're gonna get through this. We're gonna turn this thing around. We're gonna get through this thing. Just gotta keep your chin up.
Keep your chin up.
Let's just stick with me. This will turn this thing around.
We're gonna talk you in. So when you get through the tunnel, call us back.
Okay.
All right. There she goes, Kelly.
Bye.
We're going to be throwing her in a dumpster when she gets here. You know, I love the support that Cleveland gives us as far as the Opie and Anthony show goes.
Uh-huh.
But we're going to get one of their fine people killed.
Killed as they're coming in here?
They're so motivated to come down to New York and help out the radio show, but they're getting lost.
This is great. Mac from New Jersey brings up a great friggin' point. How could she miss New York City? It's only been on TV every day since September. Like, Manhattan, every day of the week. You can tune in and see New York City.
The funny part about that was she knew she was in the city, but didn't stop.
Yeah.
And then panicked somewhere along the line and just said, well, I'll keep going. Maybe it'll turn me back around or something.
I like the fact that this is great, too. I love the fact that she missed our studios at 57th and 7th, went into Queens, and just decided to look for another 57th and 7th. She goes, oh, I'm on 44th and Vernon.
44th.
Ah, well, yeah, use that grid then, the one over in Queens. Oh. And then she could go to Brooklyn and maybe try 57th and 7th there.
You know what? Rick rocks.
Oh, wow.
Rick's got decided to take some more pictures of Stephanie, the winner of the Naughty 90 contest, before she heads back to Washington.
Rick.
Photo by Rick.
Could you move her chair, please? Thank you.
Yeah, let's put these.
And
we'll put some of this on the stinky can.
Are you wearing a thong or nothing? Ah, I love her.
Nothing. She's nothing under the jeans. She wanted to go to some of the seedier places last night. She just told us. Stephanie has a website, and we're going to link it to foundrymusic.com. It's www.vav1xen.com.
VAV. 1XEN?
Yeah, she's
what
trying to do...
Scrabble player? What is that?
She's trying to do something that I don't think is going to work for her, but...
what?
Basically, it's www.vavixen.com, but the I is a 1.
Oh.
That's going to screw up everybody, but... give it a try. www.vavixen.com, but the I is a 1. All right?
No, it's not.
Hey, there's the hiney.
The hiney is sexy on its own. You don't show half of it.
Hey! All right.
Half of a $20 bill is not 10.
I got some of that ass shot up there on... Rand McNally, what's up?
Rand McNally. Owen A.
What's up?
Big fan. I'm going to drive off the friggin' road with this chick. She's killing me.
Isn't it frustrating?
Yeah, it is. I'm dying over here. Good luck bringing her home, okay, boys?
Well, now, who's turning off the radio? I know it's not the most exciting thing, but now you got to know if she made it through the tunnel.
All right, no. I'll tune in. This is going to be great. I can't wait for the finale.
All right.
Rand McNally checking out. Call me a tool. See ya.
All right,
see
you, tool. The big brick one's the Empire State Building. Rick's getting some great, great shots before Stephanie leaves us.
Oh, my goodness.
Look at that.
Wow, hold on. I'm going to have to update.
Wait.
I got to update here.
Yeah, update for the listeners.
Oh, no. I think I just updated with Steve or Stinky walking right in front of the... wow. Yes. There we go. I hope you people are enjoying this little show on the Stinky Cam. Wow, that's a good shot right there.
Brian, what's up?
I'm thinking I might take that new chick from logistics. Things go well. I might be showing her my O face. Oh, you know what I'm talking about. Oh.
Well, thank you for that.
Hey, thanks a lot.
That's pretty funny. My face.
Oh. Orlando, what's up?
Yo, I got it early. What did I learn?
Yeah, go ahead.
A few days ago, I learned that naked chicks in the woods are kind of hot.
Yeah, definitely.
Today,
yeah.
I learned naked old guys in the woods are never good.
Never.
And how do you think Stinky's old roommate used to moan when he used to look at the porn? Like that. Oh, one more thing, Norton.
Yes, sir.
Do you? I was just listening to that Osborne commercial. Who do you think raises more hell, you or him? I don't know.
You heard an awful commercial.
Peace. Thank you, Ruth.
They forget nothing.
Oh, they just have.
All right. He's here to raise some hell.
Hey, one of our new friends is checking in. Oh, wait, but Kelly might be checking in. Pablo Francisco.
Who's this?
It's Opie and Anthony.
Are you ready, Opie and Anthony? One team together, one station, one pinball machine smashed to the bejesus.
It's the movie guy.
I heard you guys got a new TV show. You guys want? I got a clip of it. You ready for it?
Yeah, let's hear it.
On the makers of Baywatch and Baywatch Nights comes O&A Beach, starring David Hasselhoff. Listen, someone smashed my pinball machine, guy, all the way down to smithereens. What's going on? And a mean real estate investor, played by Arnold Schwarzenegger, tries to take O&A Beach. Listen to me. This beach belongs to me. You have to give it up. Give it up. On the next O&A.
That's hilarious. What's up, Pablo?
Not much, man. I'm up in Cleveland, so if anybody out there wants to come to the Cleveland Improv tonight, we're selling out shows and... You guys are popular everywhere, man. I went to San Jose. You guys are up there. Seattle.
Yep. We're not popular in Seattle.
You're not popular. I went somewhere. Someone told me, because, hey, man, I heard you. So I got a lot of people from San Francisco area calling.
Seattle, the ratings came in, and we were a 0.00.
In Seattle, okay, San Jose, San Francisco area, right?
Yeah.
Okay, that's where it was, man.
All right.
So what's happening, man?
Well, we have we're a little distracted because Stephanie, who won the Naughty Nighty contest, is pretty much nude in our studio right now. Rick takes some final pictures of her. You can check her out on our websites there, Pablo.
Okay, well, I got to get to it. So does she have a little Hitler quacky?
She hasn't shown us that much yet. She's like kind of teasing now with the jeans that are still on.
But
she's completely topless. She showed the hiney. Where were you?
Rick, she had half the hiney.
Good. The half hiney's nice.
She was showing the hiney.
Problem with the picture that's on the stinky cam, by the way. If she could stand up and just take another one, because she was moving both arms as she did it, and the stinky cam didn't pick it up. It looks like she's armless, and a lot of people are complaining that it looks like your arms have been cut off.
That's sexy, actually.
Oh, that sucks, man. That means she can't counter tips.
So just, No, show your arms. There you go. Now pull that down. All right. Just like that. I think that might be it. Let's see when it updates. Sorry, Pablo.
Hold on, man. God. What is she, Jewish? What is she?
We don't know. What are you? French, Canadian, and English. Right.
Turn sideways a little.
Pablo.
Just a little. There you go.
Yeah, she.
Oh, that's bad.
Oh, yeah. That's good stuff.
Yeah, because you keep moving the goddamn camera when I click. Click.
Diddly diddly do. It'd be like if you had Jay Leno doing a sex line with her. Okay, so show me your butt. Okay, that's good. And how about show me a little cleavage? That sounds good. That's good. We'll be right back after this. Let's go to a clip.
And you know what? Now her cell phone's ringing. I think that's her boyfriend downstairs going, where the F are you?
Are you serious?
Uh-oh, Kelly's out of the tunnel, too.
All right, hold on, Pablo.
You got it, baby.
You're in the middle of, like, a lot of crazy little things. Hold on.
Got you, baby.
You're on, though. Well, we didn't put you back on hold. Sorry. Kelly!
Yes?
All right, Kelly, you're out of the tunnel?
Yes.
All right, now where are you?
I'm going down 34th West.
All right, you're on 34th, you're heading west, and what was the cross street you just crossed?
I just actually turned on 34th. Third, I'm coming up to third.
All right, you're coming up to third.
Oh, bad move, I would have went all the way to eighth.
No, don't, she's not turning on eighth,
on
third. She's still on 34th.
Oh, yeah, go all the way to, like, eighth.
Okay.
And then head uptown. So 34th to eighth, and then where's she going to park?
34th to 8th.
8th moves a lot faster.
6th. All right, man.
No. But then she can't make the left.
Okay.
Yeah.
Off of 6th.
Go all the way to 8th up to 56. All right. You turn on 56. You'll see a Hooters. Right after the Hooters is a nice garage you could park
in. Which way in. Do I turn?
On which road?
56.
Right.
Okay. So I got to take 34th to 8th.
Right.
And I turn which way?
Right. You can only go one way on 8th. It's north. If you go left, you'll get in big trouble.
Oh, okay.
Kelly,
I got it.
You got two turns to make now. That's it.
Okay.
And a third into the garage. So
now you got to listen closely. When you're on 56th, after you turn on 56th, you make that right on 56th. Right when you cross over Broadway.
Okay.
The parking garage is after Hooters on the left.
Okay.
All right.
Don't forget that.
Hooters.
Yeah, Hooters.
How do you get an application there? They pull out a bronze, they fill this out.
Hey, Kelly, do you want a welcoming party?
No, I don't.
You sure?
I'm positive.
You give them the make and the model of your car there, and we'll have a bunch of people waiting for you.
No, but I won't do that.
All right. All right, we'll see. If you have any problems, give us a call back.
Okay.
Actually, call us when you get on Ace. What the hell?
Yeah, you better do that.
I might.
We don't have a lot of confidence in you right now.
Yeah. Where are you now, ma'am?
I have a lot of confidence.
Ma'am, where are you now, ma'am?
I'm still on 34th. I haven't even passed, I'm passing Lexington now.
All right.
It's moving slow, right?
So you're going,
yes, it's going very slow.
You're westward bound, are you?
Yes, yeah. I'm westward bound.
I think someone recognized you. Cause
don't go over. Don't go over.
They were beeping at me.
Yeah, if there's any toll, turn around.
Yeah, don't go over any more water.
Right.
Okay.
Stay away from the water.
Okay, I will.
You're on Manhattan Island.
You're in the biggest city in the world right now. Don't leave it.
Don't get lost.
Look up at all the pretty buildings.
You should take a cup or something if you have to.
That's my problem. I was looking at all the buildings.
Oh, well, man, this one's a rocket science.
Yeah, next thing you know, you're in Queens, like coming to America.
All right, Kelly, call us in a little bit.
right.
It's not about you. We got to talk to Pablo now.
Okay.
Oh, Kelly?
How much you want to how much you want to bet she gets a cobblestone block put over her head by a homeless man before she even makes it up here?
Man,
you know how the homeless can be around here.
Yeah, they do exactly what everyone would love to do.
Put a cobblestone block over her head.
You want to go out now? I really...
Clank.
I am Sam. That's what they are, the homeless around there.
Paris Drake, that guy's name was.
Paris Drake. You remember all the criminals, Morton. Yeah.
I don't know what, I don't know anything about square roots or mathematics, but what homeless animal crashed a brick into a white lady's head? I can remember that and whack my bag.
And whack the bag? Someone's whacking his bag. Someone's playing a deadly game by whacking his bag. That'd be movie guy doing pornos. Wouldn't that be worse?
Oh, that would rock.
Are you ready this summer? Get ready for climactic orgasm. He was a midget who worked for Santa too long.
I hate this job.
And he was a pimp on the edge.
I need my hose.
He may be a midget, but he's hung like King Kong. Get ready this summer. Frosty the Homan. Okay. Movie, but I don't know.
Hilarious.
Movie guy having sex. Here we go. Here we go. Movie guy having sex. Oh, yeah. Ah, the passion in your eyes burns with desire. Hurry up! Hurry up! Coming soon. All right.
All right, Pablo, we'll see you next time here in New York.
All right, man.
It's the Improv in Cleveland, what, all weekend long?
All weekend long. Here's the number if anybody wants to come down. It's 216-696-7723 in Cleveland.
Yeah, I mean, Pablo's hilarious. Hey, I saw your thing on Comedy Central. Very, very good.
Thanks a lot, bro.
Really enjoyed that.
Hey, thanks a lot, man.
Could you give us a little Aaron Neville as we go to break here?
But took many questions, stated left unanswered. So, welcome to the jungle. We have fun and games. We can do that. Everyone's going to bring you to your nut knees. Nut knees.
Aaron Neville sounds like you're trying to find a radio station. Traffic on the... You know the deal.
Yeah, you're all right, man. All right, Pablo, thank you.
Hey, thank you, guys, man. Take care, guys.
Improv in Cleveland. We highly recommend you go see Pablo. Tell him we said hi, too, all right? All right, Pablo.
See you, buddy.
There he goes.
It's funny, man. Aaron Neville.
We got to get you out of here, Steph?
Yeah. She's got to go.
Stephanie, the winner of the Naughty Nighty contest, leaving us, Anthony.
Yeah.
Well, we got Kelly to take your place, so.
Oh.
I just want to say thank you.
Out with the
really
old,
fun.
In with the new.
Ah.
No, it's just kidding. You had a good time?
Yes, I had a great time.
Cool.
It's nice meeting you.
How are you getting back to Washington?
Driving now.
You're driving. Yeah. You're not going to get lost or nothing,
No,
right?
No. We made it here.
Yeah.
No problem.
And I'm sorry about the whole begging and offering you money thing.
And her website is www.vavixen.com. The eyes of one in Vixen.
Yeah. It's the same as the email. It's just a little bit that we did on the air with the AOL and IM thing. And
right.
Got a lot of email from that, and so we decided to make one.
I bet.
Well, that's your email, too?
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
And it'll be linked to foundrymusic.com. So. All
right.
I think when we get back, we got to talk about Nixon wanting to nuke Vietnam. Yeah,
what a classic Tricky Dicky story.
Yes.
Dick Nixon. A lot of tapes were released, and apparently he wanted to nuke Vietnam.
Yeah, and we'll look at the curdled milk to see if it's ready. Is that girl on the way?
Yeah.
That's the showstopper today.
Amelia Earhart?
Huh?
Amelia Earhart, who's lost, or the other one?
The other one.
Okay. Kelly is coming here just so we can throw her in a dumpster in her bra and panties.
Great.
Hopefully Mike O'Brien's listening. He'll have more fodder for his next article.
What a dick.
What's Michael? What's that?
Oh, you didn't read this?
No, I started.
During the break, you'll have to read this and get angry.
Yeah, read it so you can be...
thanks a lot, Ben.
Read it so you can be prepared for the next segment there, Jimmy.
Nick's betting she goes straight through to the Lincoln Tunnel and ends up in Jersey.
That would be hilarious.
If you stay on that road, you'll go right through, yeah.
If she hits Newark, she's on her own.
It seems like every hole in my body is exploding every liquid imaginable.
Opie and Anthony.
Our adult fantasy playroom is open.
The Opie and Anthony Show. 1027 WNEW.
And we're back with the Opie and Anthony Show. A couple phone numbers in the New York area. 877-692-1027 anywhere else, including, Anthony, Sacramento, California.
Yeah.
866-2774.
Wow.
I noticed that Jim Norton bought an 8-second spot on our show.
Yes.
I did. Who buys these commercials for you?
The promoters do. But they can't afford to buy the big 1-minute ones, man. They're too expensive.
So his promoter, Anthony, he's playing Town Hall April 18th in New York City. Tickets going quite nicely.
Very well, yes.
They can't afford the 60-second commercials?
I don't know how much they are. They're expensive, though.
So they figured, what the hell, we'll buy an 8-second commercial?
An 8-second commercial.
Is the sales department crying?
Well, a little bit.
You know what? Let them cry. I don't care.
What is wrong with you?
Nothing. I don't care.
What's wrong with your promoter that they can't buy
expensive.
A few 60-second spots?
It's expensive. This, you know
how silly an 8-second spot sounds for your show?
I know.
Listen to this. It.
Jim Norton's Yellow Discipline Tour hits Town Hall Thursday, April 18th. Get to your Ticketmaster location now.
What? What was... was that what? It?
I realize...
And we just ran that for free, so...
It's a white trash commercial. I know that, but, you know, compared to New York City, the major events are usually 40 or 50 bucks.
I must say, your promoter is assuming a lot right there. What if the person doesn't know who Jim Norton is? That's why the...
What if? Chances are they don't, and they're not playing on any
That's why
shows.
The 60-second spots, you know, they might be able to give a little of your act. Like, oh, I never heard of Jim Norton, but that... couple lines I just heard are kind of funny.
Right.
Well, you guys, if you didn't have such a hot show, it wouldn't be so expensive. I mean, that's the problem. It's expensive.
Oh.
And it's true. It really is. I mean, the prices are very expensive. And I'm not making that much money in this game. Dice at the Beacon is making a lot of money. I'm not making a lot of money. So he can afford big spots. I can't.
When Ben sees this on the commercial log, he laughs like a little schoolgirl. He thinks it's the funniest thing that there's just 8-second commercials for your show.
That really, the guys in the sales department. Look, I know you guys got a job to do or whatever, but all right, already with how much? All right.
Oh, what? They're pressuring?
No,
they're not pressuring.
No, but just I know they're annoyed.
We're just making fun.
All right, I know they're pissed off.
Jim, you do have to be happy because originally they had only bought one 8-second commercial. They've now bought three.
Yeah,
you're up to a total of 24.
24 seconds of quality
of promotion for your show.
Time.
Dude, you know what might be good is like one 8-second spot, they just say your name, and then the other 8-second spot maybe they could use to do a couple of your lines from your comedy show. And then the third 8-second spot, they could kind of just give the date of the show, and then the listener could put it all together in their
like
mind.
A cereal.
And if the guy is sitting there listening for 18 straight hours, he'll know exactly what to do.
Exactly.
And when to see old Jimmy Norton.
It's like a mini series commercial.
Every show in the country I'm doing so far is sold out, except New York. It's the only one I still have to...
New York.
No, it's fine. It'll go. It's the biggest venue. Yeah.
All right.
And it's on, by the way, it's on the 43rd between 7th and 6th, or 6th and Broad. People are asking me, where's Town Hall? How do you not know where Town Hall is? It's one of the most well-known venues in Manhattan. But thank you, anyway, for helping me whore that now.
Relax, dude.
I know. I'm really... Right. I just read this effing article. I'm really annoyed.
Oh, good.
Man.
Well, you know what? We found another guy that doesn't appreciate our brand of humor, Anthony. His name's Michael Bryan.
Yeah.
And I wrote an article in one of the papers out there in Sacramento.
Doesn't like our brand of humor?
What's the name of the paper? Nomination?
Nomination.
Or is that a... that might be an ad. Oh, here it is. Latest issue of Sacramento Magazine. The article's titled, Turned Off.
Turned Off.
Headline reads, Turned Off.
Turned Off.
And it's all about this fine radio program, Anthony.
All right.
You want me to read a little?
Oh, sure.
And then we can just comment as we go along. I tuned in a local FM radio station targeting young adults as I drove to pick up my 13-year-old daughter after her practice. Two women who wrote...
Oh!
What was she wearing?
The two women who wrote Sacramento's February cover story about eligible singles had been invited to be on that station to talk about the story, and I wanted to listen beforehand to see what the format was like. Of course, talking about the fine station KXOA in Sacramento.
Right.
What I heard was awful.
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 Turned off.
That means we are doing our job, Anthony.
Yep.
What I heard was awful.
Awful.
A few male disc jockeys talking crudely.
Oh, God forbid.
Crudely.
Crudely.
You're not playing?
Dude, you don't understand.
It was your turn to say crudely.
I'm sorry. I really get annoyed.
He's so aggravated and annoyed with this story.
It's a short article. We'll give you a chance. All right. A few male disc jockeys talking crudely, asking women.
Crudely.
crudely, asking women to join a contest to lose their virginity.
Yeah.
And to lose it wherever you want, in a car, under an overpass, in the desert, wherever. They also asked women to call in and feign orgasm.
Feign orgasm. We're asking women to call in and feign orgasm.
F-E-I-G-N.
He makes it sound so fun.
Yeah. Like his wife has been...
You can't say the F-U thing.
Why?
Norton.
I wasn't sure if that was Jim Norton or audio from our meeting with Ken Stevens.
Yeah.
Feign, yes. Feign orgasms on the air. And they promoted a naughty 90s contest where my listeners emailed in photos, which would then be posted on the station's website.
Yeah. Oh.
There was no emailing of photos, but okay, I'll give you that one.
Turned off.
Turned off.
There's turned off.
I thought the program was tacky, unoriginal, and especially demeaning to women. Mm. I worried that young men listening could, over time, compromise their respect for women.
Here it is.
My daughter included.
Yeah, there it is. There it is. Hey, hey, jack-off douchebag ass-f.
Douchebag!
Dick. What people hear on this show. I want any proof whatsoever. Any inkling of evidence what is said on this show or any other show about anyone else leads people to anything from disrespect to violence.
I'll give you proof. Disrespect, the way I treat women, it's horrible. Suck and get out of the car. It's some middle-aged fraud with a 13-year-old sea of a daughter. No one cares about your daughter. She's your effing problem. We're not supposed to have a good time on the radio because you got some 13-year-old dummy. She's probably blah, 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 blah already. Don't you watch HBO, stupid? I am so sick. You know how old he is? I'm sorry to do this. This guy, I am reminded of sitting on the beach in Aptos in 1967 with several friends. We were listening to the long version of Going Home and the Rolling Stones Aftermath album. Not because we loved it, but because we heard that if you listen carefully, you could hear Mick Jagger utter the F word. He was 17 when that happened. When I was 17, me and my Jaguar friends would never have sat around listening for the F word on an album. You have been a faggot since you were born. You would never have gone. You probably didn't like Lenny Bruce. You probably didn't like Richard Pryor. And I'm not saying that this show is Lenny Bruce or Richard Pryor. Don't misinterpret that. I don't mean that. That was
I was
political.
Thinking more Andy Kaufman.
Okay, Andy Kaufman. You can go with Andy Kaufman.
Go ahead.
That just really, really bugs me. He is. How old is he? He's 1950. He was born. You are a 52-year-old boar with a little pot belly and a stupid daughter. If you don't like it, you don't think it's funny, fine, I respect that. But as far as, you know, it's going to teach young men disrespect for women and my daughter. 4 years from now when they're picking her up, they're going to be trying to get it sucked before they drop her off anyway. Doesn't matter if they listen to this or dance music. I'm so tired of parents and your mother effing kids. It's not my responsibility. I don't have kids. That's why I leave it in the dumper or in the mouth. Because I hate kids. Do you understand what I mean? That makes me want to vomit. This arrogant, faggot, yuppie mentality. I don't care about your kids. I have a nephew. I love my nephew. But you know what? I'm good to him. You want to raise your kids right? Raise them right. I don't care what he listens to on the radio.
That's hilarious.
Oh, my God. Bravo.
Dude, I am so... That,
bravo.
I'm doing stand-up for 12 years. I've been dealing... I know you guys have been doing... I'm dealing with these people like this so long, writing their letters, toilet humor. And meanwhile, this is the type of guy that works for Enron that will rape you and F you out of everything you've ever earned. But if you say something on the radio that's sexual, all of a sudden, oh, my daughter's listening. And she's also riding in a Jaguar.
Oh, God damn.
That really, really, really bugs me, man. It really bugs me.
It amazes me. I do honestly believe bad parenting does more damage and causes more things than radio or television. What we're doing on this show... what's this guy's name? Mike.
Mike O'Brien. Which
Mike.
Really jumps right out at you, doesn't it? Well, that Mike O'Brien had something to say.
What we do on this show, you show me, you know all you goody-goodies spout this all the time without backing it up with one bit of fact that this type of program makes people treat women worse or promotes violence against races or sexual... preferences. You, show me something. Don't just blurt it out because you don't like it. Show me something.
Read the last two paragraphs. I know Jim read like the first line or two, but it gets even better. Him and his friends sitting around at the beach.
Yeah, sitting around at the beach.
17 years old.
Waiting, going, here it comes, here it comes.
Here comes the F word.
Here comes the F word, other faggots that I'm hanging with. Here comes the F word. Who did that at 17? I was puking and cutting my wrist when I was 17. God, what a pussy.
Here it is. Yeah, sitting around the beach, listening carefully, you could hear Mick Jagger utter the F word. Again and again, we played the tune and debated exactly what was said. I recall feeling rather adult about it. As I did not want anyone telling me at 17 what I could or could not listen to. Mike, the world has passed you by.
You.
That's the problem.
Ponytail-wearing, middle-aged, douchebag.
Here he says it. But the world seemed to have a clearer boundary as to what was acceptable. In 67?
Yeah.
Yeah, a boundary. What? Fire hosing blacks in the South and sending youngsters from this country to be killed in a war we had nothing, no business to be in. Yeah. There was such clearer boundaries. Oh, but he was listening to the F word. Oh, really skirting those boundaries.
And then claiming it was a time of love when all the hippies, you were fraudulent and drug addicted. All you did was spit on soldiers when they came back. But they, oh, we love each other. Bunch of acid-tripping dirtbags. And now they are the yuppies like this guy now. And I just, what am I doing? Anti-establishment. The establishment's wrong.
Today, boundaries seem non-existent, he says. Today, boundaries seem non-existent. As opposed to those wacky 60s where, yeah, that was a time listening to the F word on the beach with your friends.
Would you like to know a boundary, by the way? Here's a direct boundary. Opie and Anthony make a lot of money. You are a jizzbag writer for a one-city magazine. That's a nice boundary. They're rich, and you're a nobody, you 52-year-old flunky.
Hey, Norton. We don't make
whose
that much
whose check did you look at lately?
I read the reports. I don't know. I read the same reports that everybody else.
You're still
did.
Trying to downplay that, you know.
That's right.
You're not helping the matter.
Awful dressers.
Exactly.
See, yeah, exactly. Simple barricades just waiting. But to me, dumb DJs laughing like Beavis and Butthead while they blather crudely on the air. Are we blathering?
I like the word
that
blather.
That I actually agree with.
Yeah, we like that.
You are blathering.
That's a compliment to us, Anthony.
Goes beyond pushing the limits. Toilet humor broadcasts that... This makes no sense, this line. Try to figure this out. Toilet humor broadcasts that demean people are damaging to the public good. What? Give me a fact. He's stating that something is damaging to the public good. In what way? Why doesn't it say, in my opinion, toilet humor broadcast? You use nothing to back this up.
Mike, you sound just like your dad did in 1967.
And you're
how does
just
it feel?
As big a failure, and your voice was never heard.
I'll back something up, Mike. I'll state something and back it up, okay? If you have a 13-year-old daughter now, I would say odds are, based on statistics and studies that have been done and research, not like your thing, based on research, if somebody at this time in their life has a 13-year-old daughter, she is probably sucking C. And it's backed up with fact, Opie. It's backed up with fact.
Or she
a lot
be.
Of 13-year-old girls are at least performing oral sex in the schools. A lot of them. So there's a chance that if you have a 13-year-old daughter right now, she might be sucking on a knob at school. And that's backed up with fact.
And that's because
of us? I'm not talking about anybody in particular. I'm just stating a fact. Like, he doesn't say Opie and Anthony.
But are they sucking the seas because of us?
No, absolutely not.
God, wouldn't that be great to know?
I would love to be responsible for that.
And no one's saying this guy's a bad parent. He might be a great parent. I'm just tired of parents. Stop mentioning your effing kids. Who cares?
No one cares. You know why? It's the self-importance. When someone has kids, and you know something? That's fine and dandy. You want to treat your kid like a prince or a princess? There's no problem with that. Do it. Raise your kid however the hell you want. But to ask anybody to take responsibility for their upbringing, besides you, screw off. We're here to have fun and entertain adults.
Yep, exactly.
There you go. We can't put Barney on 24 hours a day. I'm sure you'd love that. Let's just put Barney on. You know why? Because if Barney was on TV and a Barney show was on radio and Barney was at the movies 24 hours a day, it would be a perfect world. You know why? Because people would grow up loving and accepting and caring, and there wouldn't be all this dirty stuff to turn the mind. And you know something? Everything would be fine. We'd live in a paradise in a few years. Because, well, people would be raised with love and tenderness, and every adult would run into video stores shooting everybody because there's nothing entertaining on.
No, but you know what would be great, guys? Maybe later we could all sit around and listen for the F word.
Ha-ha, at the beach. We'll go to the beach and listen to the F word on a Rolling Stones album.
Does that not tell you all you need to know about this little over middle-age douche? If the guy said I was 13 and 12 and doing that, I would say, all right. But if you're 17 sitting on a beach trying to hear the F word and you have other jagoffs that are willing to do it, you are going to be a dull mother effer when you're an adult. And that's exactly
and
what
that's
it is.
And that's what I see by his little article.
Bravo! Bravo!
A flunky, pussy, boring, unheard of writer on the West Coast.
Mike O'Brien turned off.
Ooh, that
turned
Mike.
Off. I'm turned off.
Turned off.
There you go.
And good luck to your parent, hero, doing your job day in, day out.
Shutting us off on the radio. Which, hey, that's fine.
Absolutely.
You know something? That ain't going to do it, though. That ain't going to do nothing. It ain't about what this show presents on a daily basis, that we have problems in society and that 13-year-old girls are in school hobbing knobs. And giving up the A to stay a virgin.
Yeah.
It's happening. And it ain't because of this show. I'd love to think it was.
Dude, I've gotten...
I'd volunteer to go on 24 hours a day if I thought we were promoting sex.
I've gotten emails from people going, you're not funny, you suck. All right, you accept it. People think that something's funny, they think you're not funny as a person. When people get offended like that, that's what makes me sick. Now, I don't think it's funny. There's plenty of people that think my punchlines stink, whatever, fine.
Yeah.
But when they're offended, when they think it's bad for society, that's what makes me sick.
Bad for society.
You know, if you think it sucks, fine, but, you know, I don't care about your kids, man. I'm sorry. I'm not going to pretend I do. I'm not interested. If you're a parent, don't tell me about your kid. I don't want to hear it. I don't care.
Bravo.
I really don't. And I like kids. I just don't want to hear about a great job you're doing, making the world safe for them. Drop dead. Drop dead.
All right, we're going to continue with the theme and go to the FU line in.
Yeah.
And we got to talk about Nixon nuking Vietnam next.
Uh-huh.
All right.
We also have, finally, it's been a while, but we have an unlucky lottery.
We've
had a lot of suck to be used, but I consider this an unlucky lottery.
All right.
Yeah.
We'll do that next as well.
Thanks for calling, and here's the Opie and Anthony FU line.
I'd like to give a big FU out to the lady at ShopRite in South Jersey. You brought over 100 items into a 15-item and less lane. You broke it up into 6 different orders so you can fit all your cart crap in there, and then you paid with it with 6 different personal checks, in which the last check didn't clear. And then you looked at all of us like you didn't know what the hell you were doing. F you, die of gunnery in the mouth, and I hope Henry IV takes a visit to your house. Skank, mothball, bitch. F you.
Next message. This is a Tom giving a giant F you to that faggoty little Frenchman, Frenchie. Why don't you go inject yourself with paint thinner, stupid horse-eating Frenchman. You impotent little snail eater. F you.
Next message.
Yeah, I want to give a big... you to my brother Jeremy's girlfriend Shannon. Everybody in this family except Jeremy knows what a stuck-up, controlling, arrogant, evil bitch you are. Just let go of his leash. You don't make our brother happy. You just tell him that and he believes it. You.
Next message.
Yeah, I'd like to believe an F you to that F and C that was sitting next to me at the Syracuse Villanova basketball game that wouldn't shut her yet. I mean, she had a C in her mouth every once in a while. She wouldn't be so goddamn loud. F you.
End of message.
Opie and Anthony.
At the Last Supper, they would have wiped their asses with the tablecloth.
That's just what Christ wanted.
The Opie and Anthony Show.
Is this for shock factor?
Hang up on this bitch.
N-E-W. The Opie and Anthony Show.
1027 WNEW.
Wake up!
Wake up!
Run right to put a little makeup! Had to set the beat away this hiccup!
Got to beat away this
hiccup! Why'd you leave the keys up on the table? Here's the green and another paper. You wanted to never rush upon a little makeup. You wanted to understand the better with the stick up. You wanted to. Why'd you leave the keys up on the table? You wanted to. Why don't think you trust in myself?
They're checking out the Opie and Anthony show. We got some people fired up on the phones, Anthony. Barbara, what's going on?
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey, Barbara.
That guy from... that guy from... Oh, he just got me so mad. That guy from Sacramento got me so mad.
Yeah, Michael Bryan.
Okay, now the thing is, like... Okay, I'm going to be 42 in a couple of weeks, all right? So, 1972, I was already messing around with guys. I grew up listening to WABC, AM, you know, Harry Harrison, and all that stuff. I watched the Brady Bunch and the Partridge Family, all that mess. And I was still out... hot and trotting, running all over the place.
Really?
Yeah.
It says that you lost your virginity at 14?
Yep.
In 1974? Well,
yep.
We can blame the Brady Bunch, eh?
Exactly.
Brady Bunch made girls lose their virginity back in 1974.
Dan, 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 dan. Anyway, that's it, guys.
All right, thank you.
All right, bye.
Bye. There's a couple more, and then we got to move on. Kristen, what's going on? Kristen!
Hey, guys.
Hey, what's up?
Listen, this guy who's complaining about his daughter hearing the material that you guys are saying,
yeah.
He needs to get a clue, because if you're actually a good parent, why isn't he monitoring what she's listening to?
Well, he turned the radio off when the little perfect angel got in the car.
But he doesn't think that's good enough.
You know what it is, too? It isn't about, really, I'm not a parent.
I am.
Thank God, and I really don't care. Mm-hmm. But I don't even think it's about monitoring what your kids listen to, because kids are going to be kids and listen to whatever the F they want to listen to.
Yeah.
It's a matter of then maybe even explaining it with them, talking about it, doing that stupid parent stuff. Whatever. It's not about trying to prohibit them from listening to anything by either cutting it off from them or having it removed from the airwaves completely.
Well, you guys
based on your children, you're going to decide what adults can or can't listen to. The concept there is ridiculous.
I have a 7-year-old little boy, and if he comes to me with questions concerning sex, girls, anything, I am very open. I bring it right out there. We talk about it. I don't want him hearing
God
about
bless
it from
you.
Anybody else.
You know what the thing is, too? When I was growing up, I heard some nasty stuff on TV, movies, magazines, whatever.
Yeah.
You know what? It's part of growing up. The kids are exposed to stuff like that.
Yeah.
It's not going to go away. We're not going to live in this Vulcan society where all of a sudden, just doesn't happen. Kids will get their hand on porno. They'll get their hand on drugs. They'll get their hands on booze. It's a matter of how a parent prepares their kid to deal with those things, not cutting them off from it completely.
Well,
that's
going to
just make them want to listen that much more.
Well, parents have to realize, I mean, you're right, kids can get their hands on alcohol, porn,
we
drugs.
All did it.
I mean, I'll provide any of that stuff. When I was a kid, you know what? You know, your parents have to discipline your kids. When I was a kid, man, I would curse. My father would take soap and scrape it against
happened
my
to
teeth.
Me too.
So I didn't curse in front of my father anymore. I got that too.
I got a smack. And look what it did for you.
Yeah, exactly.
You didn't change.
I'm an absolute failure with meaty breasts and a prostitute habit. So maybe that was a bad example.
You're always so kind to yourself, Norton.
I said
voice.
I said schmuck once when I was a kid. I said, that stupid schmuck, and
I hope he smacked.
Whap! He smacked me in the face.
You're not Jewish. You're a little Italian.
I'm not Jewish, and it sounded too much like the F word the way I used it.
Bottom line,
and I got smacked in the head for that.
Unlike, you know, his daughter has issues.
Right.
You know she does. She's 14. Let me tell you, when I was 14. Come on. We all know. We all know what's going on. I went to school with nuns. I'm 30 now. We had girls bringing in porno magazines. We were looking. If he has a problem with his daughter, sit down and talk to your daughter, but don't pin it on the media. I mean, turn on the news.
All right, Kristen. Thank you.
By the way, 13-year-old Anthony, why were you... What am I, a schmuck on wheels? That's cigarette hijacking Mick. F him, Henry. I want my money. I want my money.
I know. All of a sudden, I was using using Hasidic words. I don't know. Yiddish I was speaking.
You're going to talk to Jimmy Conaway like that? That's cigarette hijacking Mick.
Shannon.
Yeah.
Hi,
Shannon.
You're Danish from Bell.
What's up?
I'm 15, and they're all girls that do. They still see in school. They bring porno to school, but not a lot of them do.
Right.
And these people, it's all over the radio. It's all over the movies. It's all over the TV. This is where they're getting it from. It's not one solitary show. This guy has no clue what he's talking about.
Uh-oh. I think she just hung us out to dry, Opie.
I see. Agree with Michael Bryan.
No, don't forget, here's the difference. In the 50s, when there was less of this stuff on the radio and television, there was still a lot of teenage pregnancy. The difference was you married back then quickly. But people make it look like the 50s were these ideal, wonderful times.
Oh, please.
Blacks were being beaten. They couldn't vote. Yeah. Women couldn't vote for... Well, that's the 20s. But, you know, women couldn't get paid the same amount. You know, as much as we tease women, they're still making the same money men are now. Stop glorifying the 50s. They sucked, and your music stunk. A bunch of greasy-haired dummies going... Bah, 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 bah. It stunk. God almighty, will you stop living back there? Oh, those were the days.
Oh, they waxed fantastic about how... What a
stunk.
Great, what a great time it was. Yeah, it was our age of innocence.
Yeah, really.
Shut
innocent.
Up.
Yeah, really. And if it wasn't for Jackie Robinson, blacks would still have their own league. Yeah, really innocent. It was disgraceful the way people were treated back then.
It was a horrid, horrid time.
You're
of,
not a fan of the ducktail?
No.
Bang, 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 bang,
bang, bang, bang, bang,
bang, bang. Hey, call me Mac the Knife this week. Although I love Bobby Darin. I love the music from back then. But it's just annoying. Stop glorifying. It was no different than now. It was all hidden back then. Now people are more open about being scumbags, thanks to programs like you guys have.
Thank you.
I like that. That last thought, it makes a lot of sense. Yeah.
John, what's up?
Hey, listen, guys.
Hey.
I've got a 14-year-old daughter.
Yeah.
All right? And I got to back you guys up as far as, you know, what's going on in these schools. I mean, their class trip, she's in eighth grade, their class trip was basically canceled because a teacher caught one of the girls who was younger than her giving a BJ to a guy in the back of the bus.
There you go.
All right, now you got to figure. All right, my daughter's 14. All right, my wife and I were both. I mean, we're relatively young. I mean, we're 38 years old. All right, my daughter comes to me with problems with her boyfriend. I come right out and tell her. I said, listen, guys are scum. All right, basically the only reason why your ex boyfriend wants to get back with you is because he wants to F you. And then he wants to turn around and tell everyone else.
Hey, at least you're being
right?
honest, because that's the bottom
sure.
line back then.
Right.
No guy is looking for a long-term relationship back at that age.
Nowadays, parents do not, they're not honest with their kids.
But I've,
right? Listen, if you got a problem, come back to me.
I have a
right?
question, sir. I have a question as a parent, because I'm not a parent.
Sure.
maybe this show isn't right for someone who's 13 or 14. That's fine. But what do you do if your daughter's watching something or whatever that you think is inappropriate? Like, how do you deal with that? Or say she's listening to a show that you don't think she should be listening to.
Basically, my daughter is very upfront with me, man. All right? I mean, anything that she doesn't feel is appropriate or... I'll give you an example. All right? She was over at my brother-in-law's house. All right? Her and her cousin, who they're both the same age. Her cousin's a boy. All right? It ended up that one of them went on a porn site. All right, my daughter came right out, and she was like, Dad, I didn't do it. All right, now every father is going to say, yeah, okay, you didn't do it. All right, I had both of them sitting in front of me, and I could see by the body language of my nephew that, yeah, obviously he was on it. You know, it's like, well, Jesus Christ, look me in the eye. My daughter's looking me right in the eye saying, Dad, I didn't do it. I swear to God, I didn't do it. Why would I do it? You know, and... The thing around nowadays with parents, they don't want to be straight up with their kids, all right? They want to treat them like babies and everything else. Yes, they're babies till a certain age. But then you got to prepare them to be out there in the world. If they're not going to be prepared to go out there, then guess what? They don't get screwed over anyway. They don't get knocked up when they're sick.
Hey! Hey, potty mouth.
There you go.
Oh! Let your daughter hear that language.
What type of
example? They're going to turn around and try to keep everything from you, and that's the worst part about it. I mean, just for an example, my wife could not go to her parents about anything, absolutely anything.
Yeah.
All right, my parents, they beat the hell out of me. All right, I don't touch my kids. I don't need to. I turn around, I look at my 11-year-old son and say, "Well, you really disappointed me this time." That's almost worse.
All
and
right.
smacking them across the head.
Thanks for the parenting lesson today,
yeah.
John.
John, you know what?
John's right.
It ends with you. We had a nice little serious discussion. But we got to move on to the hilarity.
Good job. Hey, listen, I love you, boys.
Good job,
you
though, John.
Take care, huh?
Good
Thanks,
job.
Man.
Bye, John.
What?
Don't want to get too serious here.
No.
That's actually good.
But I don't want it to come up like I don't like kids. Cause I do like kids, but it's just annoying. Like, you know, I like guys like that.
We're still trying to catch up, so we're going to take another break here. And then when we get back, I swear we'll do the Nixon thing next. It's the best story of the day.
Just in time. We can quickly do this if you got like a minute or so. The unlucky lottery.
Yeah, go ahead, Ant.
because we haven't done this in a while. Someone sent it to me as a sucks to be you, but I dubbed this the unlucky lottery. A survivor of Egypt's biggest train disaster who escaped with light injuries after jumping off one of the rear carriages of the train. You heard about this about a few days back. There's a war, there's a little battle going on. So one side decided to set fire to the train of the other side. A bunch of Egyptians were in this train and died. A lot of them. I don't know what the death toll was, like 80 or something like that. People died on this train.
In the Middle East.
Yeah, this guy survived, jumped off the train, and lived through it. Opie, he died on his return journey by falling underneath a train.
Holy ass.
What an ass.
Wait,
how did that happen?
22-year-old laborer. Yeah. So escaped a fire 8 days ago, which killed about 360 people when it swept through seven carriages of a crowded passenger train. So 360 people die. He survives, jumped out. He, after spending the Muslim festival of blah, 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 his family over the past weekend with his family, he was waiting at the train station to return to Cairo when he slipped and fell under a passenger train and was killed.
Who is he? Wile E. Coyote?
I know. But that is unlucky lottery.
Oh!
Right?
I'm slow today.
What's the matter?
I'm mad at myself.
Oh, the laughs, right?
I had a... Oh,
yeah.
Missed my opportunity.
Yeah, it happens. See, oh. now it's too late.
Jim was panicking over there going...
Laughs. So that I consider unlucky lottery.
Without a doubt.
If he just would have fallen under the train, sucks to be you. Right. If he would have died in the fire on the train, sucks to be you. You live through that fire on the train and then die days later waiting for a train. Unlucky lottery.
Unlucky lottery. Doesn't happen every day.
No.
All right, we'll go back to the dick jokes that Scott saying on the line. Bad news. Well, Kelly made it.
Yeah.
From Cleveland. She's outside the studio. We're going to throw her in a dumpster, Mike O'Brien. In her bra and panties, Mike O'Brien.
Yep. And she's going to wear pigtails, Mike O'Brien.
Guaranteed you're listening today, Mike O'Brien. You can't turn this off, Mike O'Brien.
You think this is going to drive people to throw women in dumpsters?
Let's hope. They've been doing it for years. It's called serial killing. Stupid, Mike.
Because golly gee, they deserve it.
Yeah, I'm sure.
God damn, I can't even.
Well,
no.
all depends on what they have on.
No. The bad news, though, the girl from Philly that was going to drink the curdled milk blew us off.
She didn't call or anything.
We've been preparing the milk all day long.
I know. She didn't call early. Rick finally calls her and she goes, my boyfriend says he doesn't want me doing... Husband?
Husband.
Whatever.
Well, you know what? That's fine. We don't mind that you have to, you know, you're not going to do it or whatever, but you got to tell us.
Yeah, let us know because it gets down to showtime and we don't know until we're into the show by a couple of hours before we know you're not going
to
show.
And her husband's really beginning to bug me with this because now, stupid, let her do it, and this way she'll always swallow. Because if she doesn't, you go, look, you can drink curdled milk, but you can't do this, and you're supposed to love me? Dude, you just blew a great opportunity.
We really count on our listeners. It means less work for us. Don't let us down.
Why?
So, here's the deal. The girl from Cleveland, if she does the dumpster thing, she's going to be in the 55-gallon drum challenge.
Right.
Anthony, we have one spot left.
One spot.
We had the curdled milk.
One yeah.
Spot.
One spot.
One spot.
Curdled.
Not
milk.
Two.
One.
Not zero.
One spot.
One spot.
One spot.
A lot of girls have been calling the last week or so going, I'll do anything.
Yep.
We got the milk. We got the milk.
Yeah, girls.
And we have 2 hours left.
2 hours, girls. Come down. You drink this curdled milk, and you're in.
You're in the 55. You didn't throw it away, did you?
No.
Oh, good.
No, we saved it.
Could somebody with a hole just show up and drink this milk?
So, ladies, if you're close and you really want in on the challenge, there you go. We'll just throw that out there for you. If you want to come by and do that, okay?
Yes.
All right. Anything else, Rick? You all right?
Okay.
In honor of John Madden joining Monday Night Football,
Ant
wrote a whole bit but left it on the counter.
And somebody took it or ripped it up or put it in the garbage. And it took a lot of research and, like, I can't just find that and write it again.
Dude, what kind of retard would... Oh.
Yeah, I know.
Hey. Hey.
You didn't go far enough where it affects anyone else but us in the room. Hey. Come on, I defy anyone on Instant Feedback to even tell me what Jim was just talking about.
I guarantee they know.
All right, let's see.
As we go to break, what I'm saying, our good friend Frank Caliendo doing some Madden here honor of the Monday Night Football thing. The Nixon tape's next.
And the basic premise of Madden is he tells you things you already know. He's never given you any new information, just sitting there with the fox skadoodle drawing circles and guys' body parts. He'll tell you things like, if the quarterback he throws the ball and a receiver catches it in the end zone, and that's gonna be a touchdown.
Wow! And God damn, is that Madden?
Nailed it! Hey, and did you ever hear him like? Troy Aikman lost his contact lenses a couple years ago, and man's like, here's a guy who, when he puts his contacts in, he can see better. Anything else, Nostradamus at the end? Here's a guy who, when he runs, he goes faster. Come on, one more thing. Here's a guy who, when he eats a lot, he takes a big dump later. Madden's so ridiculous, he could drive a guy to drinking, and that explains Pat Summerall's problem. But Summerall's got the great voice, doesn't he? He's got a wonderful voice. He doesn't use it, he just does those phrases. You know the video game, right? It's totally relevant and evident in the video. Here's a guy who, if he practiced more, he'd use the right word on the first try. Summerall's got the great voice, you know? He could be running, the guy's running down the field, he could paint the picture with the language, but all he does is that, to the 25, there's a flag on the play. Hey, if the referee, if he throws a flag and he didn't make a mistake run there, right there, that's gonna be a penalty. Thanks, John.
Did you ever hear
Wow.
This is my favorite thing about Matt, though, that he'll do like 35, 40 million different things and throw them into a sentence, but it doesn't make sense, and nobody's paying attention because everybody's drunk by that time. He's like,
there's a guy in your seat, and then you know one time, and I saw these are the guys that when that, he's when sometimes, and then there, and now you know it, that's why, and no, when these are once, you know, there's a, see that, you can't tell, Michael Irvin had a crack pipe on his sideline, he's gonna get, you know that, hey, so there's a place for the helpful hardware, man, and then you see there's a rainbow out today, the way a rainbow works, you got the sun over here, and then there's a cloud over here, and then the rain comes down at the end of the rainbow, there's a pot of gold and a leprechaun, and he's do a little dance, make a little love, get down tonight, and maybe I had some of that crack, and then Brett Favre had a dog on his leg, and once a farmer had a dog, and Bingo was his name, oh, I learned how to spell that in third grade, you clap, and then I-N-G-O, dog was licking him, he's got a rasher, if he wants to get rid of it, boom, tough acting, tenactin will get rid of it.
You guys didn't even last the whole bit. That's my favorite part.
The Opie and Anthony Show.
Oh, my God. What is she doing? She's hyperventilating.
Coming soon, the return of the 55-gallon drum challenge on The Opie and Anthony Show. N-E-W. The Opie and Anthony Show.
1027 WNEW.
And we're back. The Friday edition of the Opie and Anthony Show.
Yeah.
Paul Mercurio's here. And he brought his Emmy. Oh, he did he? We're going to have some fun with that. How about that? Really fast, Mike from Philly. Wanted to comment about that douche in Sacramento writing that article.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm a 40-year-old father of a 13-year-old daughter. I'm also an art photographer. Oh.
I shoot female nudes.
Oh.
And have been for over 18 years. My daughter has grown up seeing my work and is well adjusted. It all comes down to communication and how you talk to your kids. That a-hole wants society to be his kid's parent. It's his responsibility, not society's.
Talk to your kid.
You have a great show, and Norton is a pisser.
Don't do drugs. Stay in school. Don't be a fool, kid.
Have you heard what WAF is doing? A stupid commercial with Anthony saying crap about WBCN.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I guess people think that I'm actually bad-mouthing BCN now. As opposed to when they were our arch enemy when we were broadcasting on AAF. What are you, stupid? Go ahead. Play whatever you want.
That's a desperate move by our old station in Boston.
Play our voices. Like, people are going to listen to AF. Hear an old clip of me bashing the station we were paid to dismantle at the time. We're radio mercenaries, dickhead. Of course we were tearing BCN an ass. That was our job, and we did a great job of it. Too bad you were too stupid to hold on to us, and you lost us, and now you're the enemy, and we bash you. That's how it works, jack off. So that's why there is audio of us tearing apart BCN. Because they were the ass wipes back then.
How desperate are they that they're running those commercials now? That's the best they can do to fight back?
Do you honestly think a listener's going to go, how come they're bashing, but aren't they on the... Didn't they? Why are they saying bad things about BCN? There's plenty of old tape of us bashing BCN. It was our mission and our job to destroy that station.
And now our mission is to destroy you!
To destroy you. See how it works? See how it works?
We also used to say how cool AF was.
Right.
Guess what? It's not cool anymore.
Won't hear that anymore either. You won't hear us bash BCN because we're on there. And you won't hear us talk nicely about AF. Because now you guys are the douchebags that are going to die.
There was a day when AF was very cool. But all the people that made it cool are long gone, aren't
gone.
They?
Gone. Gone. The place is just
and
left.
Why? Because you didn't take care of any of us.
Left with ass wipes. And play all the tapes of my voice, of Opie's voice. Play all of it you want. I love it. Play me on your friggin' radio show. Play Opie. Play us together. Have us talking about how we hate Nick Carter and how we hate Oedipus. Go ahead. Go ahead. It's a whole new story. You know where we get a lot of cars from now? Japan, jack-offs. We nuked them at one point. You move on. Right? You make friends and alliances with former enemies and then turn around and bash the people and the places you came
bash
from.
Bash the real enemy.
The true enemy. That fat load of crap that sits in that chair and does nothing from 3 to 7 over there. That waste of space, program director Dave Dickless. That is so desperate, he has now decided to reach into the... Oh, I couldn't see that meeting. I think we have audio of Opie and Anthony badmouthing BCN. Yeah, Dave, put it on! Our stupid listeners believe that that I'm actually walking away from a wedding and that I actually picked my sidekick from a baseball game. So, yeah, they'll believe that it's actually ONA badmouthing BCN now. Wrong. The truth of the matter is, if you really look at it, schlock hole dickbag and Dave asswipe, you're losing horribly. We're kicking your ass, and there's nothing you could do about it. Just like there was nothing BCN could do about it when we were bashing them. Yeah, so play the tape. Play the tape. Play how ruthless we were to BCN, because that's exactly what we're doing to you now, and you're losing the battle, Tubbo. You're losing. To play it all you want. I love it.
Hey, I got a tape I want to play now.
No, I play tape for you.
Good for you.
Good for you. I play tape for you now.
We do things.
Like dinosaurs. Like
When men were dinosaurs. We do things.
We do the old way.
And you got to see the awful face that comes with that. You're making me laugh with that one for a year.
Right. Is it really
awful? Oh, yeah,
awful
off stage,
face?
Yeah.
I got a tape, Anthony. If they want to play tapes, we'll
what
play
do you got?
Tape.
What do you got?
Well, we got actual audio of Dave Dickless, our old boss that didn't appreciate
oh,
us.
Oh, great.
Remember the day we were doing some gay stuff?
Uh-huh.
This is one of many reasons why we are no longer at AF.
Uh-huh.
They didn't get it. So we were doing some gay humor, Jim.
Ooh, I hope that's you just making that up now.
And and Dave thought he could just hotline us. They call it hotlining in the business. And,
yeah.
And say, guys, I want you to stop because you're going into the gay zone. This is his actual phone call to us.
So, yeah, we took that, really took it to heart and took it seriously and understood if we listened to Dave, we'd be such a success like Rocco is right now. Keep listening to him, failure.
Can you imagine Jeremy hotlining us?
Oh, my God.
If you ever did that, I'd go down the hall and fist him.
And now the phone's going to start ringing.
Right in the face, right? Right, Opie?
Right in the face.
Yes. Exactly.
There's the light.
See, Dave...
Jeremy, no offense. I was just trying to make a point.
See, Dave decided to hotline us, and we recorded it, and took it to heart what he said, because then we put it to music and made him seem like a bigger buffoon than he really is.
Right,
keep playing our friggin' tapes.
Check
go
this
ahead.
Out. I got tape, too.
Hello?
Hello.
What's up?
Hello.
I just wanted to...
Why are you on this line?
Well, I figured it was easier than getting out of my chair and coming down the hall.
Oh.
Just wanted to make a request.
Yeah.
Maybe we could steer the show in a little different direction so that this doesn't get out of hand.
What's getting out of hand?
Well, I think we're going into the gay zone, and we all know where that leads. Wouldn't you agree?
Not really, but...
Hokey pokey in the butt?
No.
Licky licky?
That's fun stuff.
Yeah, it's fun, but you know what? It's going to get us in trouble. Just, you know, steer somewhere else. If you keep going this direction, it's going to be trouble. I'm just warning you. Not from me. I'm talking about outside. We've been down this road before.
The old dirt road.
Yeah. Just giving you a little heads up here.
All right.
Okay.
Head.
See you.
Uh-huh.
Hello. Going into the gay zone. You agree? We're going into the gay zone. You agree? We're going into the gay zone. Just wanted to, hokey pokey in the butt. Yeah, hokey pokey in the butt.
Oh.
Gay zone. You know, hokey pokey in the butt. Yeah, hokey pokey in the butt.
Oh.
Licky licky, licky licky, lick lick licky.
The old dirt road.
What you doing?
Yeah, licky licky.
The old dirt road.
Licky licky.
The old dirt road.
Hokey pokey in the butt.
Yeah, fun. Going into the gay zone.
Yeah, going into the gay zone.
Not really.
Going into the gay.
I love that thing.
Da, da, Dave Dickless. What a moron.
We're under your skin and there's nothing you can do about it.
That really, that was really what that our show is all about. Dave really understood it. Oh. Don't talk about we're going into the gay zone and, well, you know how that goes.
Yeah, same guy that didn't understand WoW, which is now a huge phenomenon across America.
At least now he has a vision and somebody to use like Schlocko to get his brand of humor out there. Phony, fake radio weddings, phony bachelor parties, phony, fake choosing your sidekick bits. Yeah, that's the fun, entertaining Nebraska radio that Dave Dickless is known for.
You know, he didn't understand WoW, Jim.
Yep,
and we were
wanted
forced
to just stop it.
We were forced to stop because at that time, you know, it was either that or get fired.
What was the basis to stop on it? For what?
They didn't understand.
He didn't like it. He didn't think it was good.
Was
didn't
it
think,
demeaning
you know,
to women?
I have kids. And pretty much as I saw it, Dave's wife ran the goddamn station. He'd go home, and from the little hints I got, I always felt that she would then tell him what she didn't like about what she heard on his station that he ran. And he would have to come in and then tell us what we should or shouldn't be doing based on what his wife thought. So just roll as much Opie and Anthony tape as you possibly can on your crappy, soon-to-be a one-share radio station. Oh, we're in one share, right? Here in New York?
Yeah. Well, we're an island.
Right, we're the island.
And we're working on things.
We understand that. Now, you do it. You keep rolling our tape. That's a desperate move, ain't it?
What kind of guy doesn't get WoW? It's now a national phenomenon.
If you can't
on the job every week now.
Yeah, that's great.
And he didn't get it.
You know something? I'll do him a favor. Dave, schlock douche. If you can't find any quality, fun audio of Opie and Anthony from when we were there, we'll send you some new stuff. Send us copy. We'll read it and send you tapes that you could play on your station of Opie and Anthony. Since you're so desperate and have such belief in your afternoon show that's there now that you just want Opie and Anthony back somehow, some way on your station. So instead of playing the old tapes, we'll gladly read your copy, and you could play our voices on your show and on your station. All right?
All right.
Good.
Dan, what's going on? Dan.
Yo.
What's up, Dan?
Tools, what's up?
Hey, Dan.
Hey, I just want to imitate Dave Dickless' bitch moaning after he sees the ratings coming out the next booking.
All right, let's go.
Underline. Uncle, you're going to have to find another job.
Is this the latest? Go to Mike down there on line six. Is this the latest fake, phony, please, if you believe this guy, shoot yourself in the friggin' head radio bit? Mike.
Hey, guys, how you doing?
What's here? What wacky phoniness is he up to now?
Oh, yeah, Rockhole and Fatty are up to their funniest cancer bits.
Yeah.
And they've got the illegitimate son calling from Florida that Rockhole supposedly screwed this chick in Florida on spring break.
Yeah.
And look, I'm your son. Is that one new or what?
Oh, so now he's got a kid calling like, hey, I'm your father. And what does he do? Hey, you're not my kid.
Tell me.
It wasn't me. Yeah.
Tell me he's getting bit. Tell me he's getting bit ideas from Ally McBeal.
Oh, is that what it is?
Hey. Well, hey, I want to say I love you guys.
So what is he like?
Hey, I'm not your father.
I'm not your father, man. I'm not paying child support. I got a kid.
You tell that bitch of a mother of yours. They got this kid calling, and he's supposedly 5 years old, and he's using big words like available. It's like, you know, this isn't real.
There is no fake. There is no bit. There is no kid. There's no illegitimate kid. It's all fake radio, like the wedding, like everything else Dave Dickless puts together. They even add down to things like the ticket giveaways.
Hey, I broke into Dave's office, and I stole the tickets to this show, and we'll be giving them away all week at 5. How about the wedding? Were you guys around when they did the wedding?
No, I saw a video of it. Someone sent me. I'll give him a compliment. Could be the funniest video I've ever seen in a completely different way than they meant it. When you watch it and realize how phony and stupid it is, it's hilarious to look at.
And they made a whole TV show about it.
Yeah.
That's good.
Made a whole real rock TV show.
So just in case they didn't know how fake it was on the radio, they could see for themselves with the visual vibe.
All of a sudden, they're actors. You know, they're supposed to pull off things. Yeah. You know, you have Dave Dickless talking to Rocco about, you should go back in there. What is it? Days of Our Lives? There's soap opera over there. You should go back in there.
No, Dave, she's a whore. I'm not going to...
Oh, we're all believing this.
Well, I want to say you guys are great, and I missed you while I couldn't listen to you in Boston. And
well, we're so back, nice and we're taking our tools, and we're slamming them up their A's.
Mike, you can thank Dave Dickless for us not being around for a while.
Yep.
There you
later,
go.
Guys. I'll thank him personally.
There you go.
Great.
Steal tickets? And pretend to steal tickets?
Yeah, like you know, there'll be tickets to give away, and Dave Dickless and Schlocko get together, and Dave goes, why don't you say you broke into my office and come off like a real rebel?
All right. Yeah, I'll say like you were gone, and I broke in and stole them.
Yeah, and if you stole something, what would you do? Yeah, you'd spend a week giving them away and have a whole promo made up. Like, you wouldn't just get fired or...
No, I'm too cool and tough for that.
Like, people would actually believe that, like, somebody would steal
tickets. No one's believing it. Ugh. No one's believing it. They had no choice because everything else up there sucked.
That's brutal.
We're back. We're on BCN. And they're being dismantled now over there. And they're desperate. So they're playing old Opie and Anthony clips. Ain't gonna work. I'm sorry. Have fun, though.
All right. Tracy, the curdled milk girl from Philly.
What is she calling back for?
Tracy.
Hello.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, guys. Can I come in on Monday?
Well, what? Are you going to blow us off Monday, too?
No, I will not blow you off Monday.
Tracy, we thought we got along with you. What happened? You were supposed to be here today.
It's my husband.
You were supposed to be the showstopper today.
Just let me be the showstopper Monday.
Baby talk.
Please.
All right, we'll give you one last chance.
I'm telling you, the man is trying to keep me down.
It's
you know?
It's curdled milk. This is a good bit. We don't want to get this bit to go to waste, Jimmy.
I agree.
Well, yes, Rick?
And just for added flavor, we're going to let it sit over the weekend on a heater.
Okay, cool.
That's your punishment.
Okay.
By the time you get here on Monday, it's going to look like a Friendly's Fribble.
Oh,
God. Dude. But it ain't going to taste like
one. I drank curdled sour, like a vanilla milkshake thing once, and just vomited for hours. And all I did was take one huge gulp of it. It was one of those, remember those old... Borden vanilla. Borden vanilla shakes.
Boys, I got an idea.
Some vanilla shake, not the chocolate ones. Those are for the shoogies.
I got an idea.
Boys, I have an idea. Meet me at the Chinky restaurant.
Boys, I can't believe I'm now getting fired, and Dave Nicklaus won't support me either.
Boys,
I was the one who got him out of Nebraska.
Nebraska.
Boys.
I drank one of those Borden's vanilla shakes. It was in a little can. You shake it up, psh, pop the top, and I went, why? And I chugged, like, chugged half of it down, and then realized at that point it was completely curdled, soured, lumpy.
Tracy?
And yeah. I vomited for hours after that happened.
Are you hearing this, Tracy?
Yeah, I'm hearing this.
All right. Well, we're going to let the milk sit until Monday. That's your punishment.
Okay.
All right?
All right.
All right. We'll see you Monday. Hold on for Rick. You better come in. Hey, Anthony, Richard Nixon is in the news.
Yes.
And we'll talk about
it. Oh. These people are going to hang us.
Dude.
Yes,
talking
Jim.
About the Nixon thing and not
what
got to it.
What
the hell?
Do we have to take a break?
Well, the tapes were released.
Yeah, they're playing them all over CNN
from 1972. Everyone remembers the Nixon tapes from Watergate, that 8-minute gap and all the controversy of that. And it turned out, it came out that Nixon had taped like every minute of him in the White House. He had secret microphones. This guy was one of the most paranoid, scared of communism, anti-Semite. He was a racist, a very bigoted man. And he was, quite frankly, the most insane president we ever had.
And Ben Stein wrote for him.
Ben Stein. His father and himself, Ben Stein's father and Ben Stein, were speechwriters for Dick Nixon. And Dick Nixon was one of the biggest anti-Semites ever. Yet Ben Stein got pissed at us because he thought I made a Jewish slur once. A little bit of hypocrisy there. I bet if we cut Ben a check, he wouldn't have gotten as upset. But for some reason, he could hang around while Tricky Dick was like,
Ben, I need a speech. I need a speech about how the peace talks are going in Nam. Write something. Write something clever. I know you Jews can be clever and crafty. Write something that covers up the truth. You Jews are good liars.
A bunch of tapes came out, and it's everything from him defending women being groped to faking of napalm photos to the kicker, man. I love this one. Nixon was fixing to nuke Vietnam.
Groovy. Groovy. Let me smoke a joint, then we'll drop the big one.
And what did Kissinger say?
I don't think that's a good idea. Maybe we...
Shut up, you Jaime. I'm the president. President anti-Semite.
Yeah. In 72.
Smoke up, Hank. Smoke up and forget about everything. But I... Oh, that was harsh. When I smoke up, Henry, until you talk, I almost forget you're a dirty heap.
So in 72, Kissinger and everyone else laid out his options for stepping up the war in Vietnam. Kissinger had these proposals like attacking power plants and docks and whatnot. Here's Nixon says. He goes, I'd rather use the nuclear bomb. I mean, did this guy understand if we had dropped a bomb on Vietnam, China and the Soviet Union would have reamed us a new ass? And then right when he said, I'd rather use the nuclear bomb, Henry Kissinger goes,
that I think would just be too much.
Jesus, of course. And then Nixon goes, the nuclear bomb, does that bother you? I just want you to think big. Think big like your Jew knows. And then he didn't drop the bomb, obviously, but he ordered the biggest escalation of the war since 68. He later added that,
I want to decimate that goddamn place. North Vietnam is going to get reordered. It's about time. It's what should have been done a long time ago.
Boy, in hindsight, the guy was absolutely right. They should have nuked him.
Ben, get your Jew dad, Ben, and write me a speech. Write me something that'll get me out of trouble for nuking the little yellow slopes. Take this down, Ben. Dear Gooks, I apologize for the crater that was previously your nation. We will do everything to fill it with Coca-Cola factories and McDonald's. Signed, etc., etc., blah, blah. Fill in the blanks, Jaime.
And our love become a funeral pyre.
Nuke it. And then at one point, Nixon gets pissed at Kissinger because Kissinger's too concerned about civilian casualties.
He goes, I don't give a damn. I just don't care. They're not even human. You ever see them with their slanty little eyes? Sloped heads.
The guy was certifiably insane, and he was running the goddamn country. Then there's this little transfer that they got on tape. 72 again. There was some problem with Nixon's ambassador to France getting roaring drunk and groping flight attendants on a trip home from Paris. Now, nowadays, this guy would have been gone in a second. It would have been a huge scandal story. But they asked the president about it after a Jack Anderson column regaled readers with graphic accounts of the ambassador's behavior on the flight to Washington. And you know what Nixon's answer was?
Look, people get drunk.
And he's feeling up the flight attendant.
People chase girls. At the point it is, it's a hell of a lot better for them to get drunk than to take drugs. And it's better to chase girls than boys.
But he said,
I don't like the homos. At least he's not grabbing my... So you get a little boozed up and grab a... or two. I've been known to reach over and grab a flight attendant's every so often.
Oh, my God!
It keeps them on their toes. Get me a drink or I'll put my thumb in your hole. I'm the president.
Hey, Nixon, you're stealing Brokaw's bit.
Brokaw, another liberal communist. I'll bury a digit in your...
Bobby Big Rigger.
Yeah, I wanted to ask Tricky Dictor.
Yes.
How do you go about nuking the women and children?
Easy. You just don't lead them as much.
Oh, okay. Got it. Thanks, guys.
If they run, they're VC. If they stand still, they're well-disciplined VC. Nuke the whole country.
That's his stand on, though, the groping. Then this is great. Who can forget the picture of the young, naked Vietnamese girl running down the street after her village, Trang Bang?
I believe her name was Kim Phuc.
Kim Phuc. Kim Phuc. F. No. P-H.
U-C.
U-C is her name. Kim Phuc. She's a gook. Her name is Phuc. Phuc the gook. Phuc them all, I say.
She's running out of Trang Bang Village. Turns out, oops, you know, we dropped a napalm and it hit a village. Now people don't seem as concerned when we have that. It's called collateral damage, right? It happens. We were napalming a village, and one went awry and napalmed a little innocent village. It's not very funny. Well, everyone was horrified. It was pretty much one of the turning points of the war. Here's Nixon.
I wonder if that picture was fixed.
He thinks,
oh my God.
He thinks it was a doctored propaganda photo.
Come on. It looks like a glamour shot at the mall.
He talked to his chief of staff, H.R. Haldeman, about that. And Haldeman said, could have been.
I want to consult H.R. on this.
H.R. Haldeman, sir?
No, H.R. Puffin Stuff.
H.R.
Puffin Stuff. He's your friend when things get rough. H.R. Puffin Stuff. You can't do a little, you can't do enough. Get me H.R. Puffin Stuff on the phone.
Once upon a summertime, just a dream from yesterday.
Ben, write me a speech on how I'm appointing H.R. Puffin Stuff as chief of staff.
No, it's H.R. Haldeman, sir.
And I want Puffin Stuff. I want the Navy put in charge of the charge of Sigmund the Sea Monster. Get me Jimmy's magic flute. We'll nuke them all. Oh, the witch, yes. We can fly her over North Vietnam. Bomb them into the Stone Age.
All right, I'm having an acid flashback of this music.
I love this song.
What if we strap a nuke to Witchy Poo and fly a ride into North Vietnam? Hanoi will pay.
Oh,
God.
I love that song.
So just hours of fun, tricky, dicky tapes.
Write me a speech. Hey, Jaime. She was a hot, naked little Phuc. Look at that little Phuc run. Hey, Jar, look. She's running like her ass is on fire. Oh, it is. I think it's fixed.
There must be some kind of way out of here.
I think it's that Lucasfilm Industrial Lights and Magic. What? 4 more years?
There's too much confusion.
They faked that little Phuc. That's a pretty big hit for a Jew, Henry. Don't bogart the bomb. Leave it to a Jaime like you to take all my pot. I got this herb, it's great. I got it from Elvis. He's a drug addict. And I put him in charge of the DEA. Bring in that faggot Haldeman. I keep it in my snatch panty. It's a great idea. It's going to take off someday, trust me. Take some E. Look, I got a glow stick in my mouth, Henry. Dance with me. Dance with me.
You're crazy.
And you're a kike. I am an anti-Semite. You won't have Dick Nixon to kick around anymore. I'm raving, Henry. I'm raving. Bring some of your Jew bitches. I hear they suck a mean one. Till you marry them. Ho, ho. Waddle doodle.
Oh, wow.
Bravo.
There you go. I can't wait to hear all the tape. We would play them, honestly, but they are of such bad quality. They're playing them on some of the news things.
CNN.
You can't even hear them.
Can't understand.
There's subtitles so you could read it. I mean, the tape is from 72.
It may
be kept in his drawer. I slept with it under my pillow because the crafty Jews might have stolen it. I think the translator's just making up things.
Yeah, they could.
I think he's saying nuke Vietnam here.
Half of it says inaudible.
Right.
Inaudible.
Yeah.
And then I banged Kelly LeBar Brock with Leif Garrett. It was the 70s. It was a different time. Now I have a 13-year-old daughter. I turn it off.
Were you sitting at the beach with your pals waiting for the F-word?
Waiting for the F-word during the Rolling Stones.
Oh,
me and Henry and Ben Stein and his father. I said, hey, what's he saying, Jew? I'm crazy. Bang, ba-bang, bang. Bang, bang. I'm Tricky Dick, and I'm crazy. It's Friday. Bang, bang, ba-bang. Come here, checkers. Get crazy with me, checkers. Bang, bang. Come on, Henry. Come on, Henry. Beat the drum with your nose, Jew. Bang, bang, bang. Bang, bang. I want to nuke the Dukes all day. I don't want to work. She's a lying, naked folk. That folk is a lying gook. Bang, bang, bang. Nuke the gook. Come on, dance with me, Henry. Give me some more pot, we're raving. I don't want to work. Come on. Where's G. Gordon Liddy? Liddy, get me some acid. I know you can do it. You effed up the whole Watergate thing for me, Liddy.
Justin, what's up?
Hey, I want to bang, 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 bang.
Go crazy with me, Justin. Are you a Jew? Bang, bang, bang. Bang, bang, up the Ho Chi Minh Trail. Folk, folk the gook. Folk is a lying, naked gook.
Kelly, what's going on?
Hi, Azza, how you doing?
All right.
Can we sing it?
Shut up, bitch. I'm going to eat your lunch.
Yo, go ahead, sing.
Where are my niggas?
Go ahead, Kelly.
Okay, ready?
Yeah.
She won't sing it with me.
Ah.
All right.
They're wrecking the timing here.
Everyone knows bitches can't think.
Bobby or Bobber, what's up?
Hey, I wanted to know if Mr. President would favor us with his real sex old man moan.
Oh.
Oh, God. The only thing that could be worse is Kissinger's.
I'm raving. Hey, can we play What's in Gook Fook's Pants? What for? I win. Hey, when did you burn that off this morning? Hey, it's not like I was flying the plane.
Calm down, Richard.
If we nuke the whole plane.
All right. There you are. Dick Nixon's wow. Tapes released. Yeah. Have fun with them.
All right.
All right.
We haven't had a break in about an hour.
Oh, look at that.
Hey, did we find a dumpster for the girl, Kelly?
What's wrong?
We can't seem to get a phone to work where we found it. Down in the depths.
Great.
Every phone we've tried hasn't worked.
Do they have a landline down there?
Nope.
Well, we're going to have to figure that out.
It's not very good for radio now, is it?
Where is the dumpster? Right down. Okay.
Straight down.
And there's no way to stand anywhere near it and get a...
All right, we'll figure it out.
Right.
They don't want to hear this.
No.
Paul Mercurio up next as well, Anthony. Okay?
Yes.
Yes.
O.P. Anthony.
We have our penises. They do all of our speaking.
They do all the talking for us.
The O.P. and Anthony Show. N-E-W. O.P. Anthony. W-N-E-W.
Check it out, the Opie and Anthony Show.
Couple phone numbers in New York, 877-692-1027. Anywhere else, including...
Everywhere.
How about New Orleans? The home of Annoying Tom.
How you guys doing?
866-2774-WOW. I guess Tom in New Orleans. You know this guy?
My bad.
He ordered WOW stickers and WOW shirts to give out to our listeners down there in New Orleans.
Oh, this is classic.
Ben, get on the mic real fast. Little syndication update here for you. Tom is the guy who drove us nuts when we went down to Mardi Gras. He's out of his effing mind. What else can we say? He takes pictures of his wife pretty much naked and puts them on the website.
I drink beer until I pass out.
One day he forgot to turn the radio station on that we broadcast on. Oops. That's where, you know, my bad.
My bad.
Yeah, his bad. Well, we got the latest from Tom from New Orleans, Ben.
Yeah. Tom ordered Extreme Radio t-shirts with the new logo down of the station down there. He's like, yeah, so I got the WOW sticker on the back. The only problem was they put 1027 WNEW on it. I'm like, so Tom, you know, how many did you order? He's like, well, I'd rather not talk about that.
Oh, no.
So he ordered a ton of shirts with Extreme Radio 94.1 on the front and 1027 AW.
Like the bumper, the sticker itself, the image of the sticker is on the back.
Exactly.
But it's the sticker from here, from New York.
You know, our WOW logo that everyone seems to like.
Right.
But he didn't really look too close, I guess, and just handed it to the print shop, and they just printed the WOW sticker on the back. So now the shirts are very confusing.
My bad.
It says 1027 WNEW on the back, and then it has the radio station in New Orleans on the front.
My bad.
What a complete horse's ass.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And we're depending on him for our success in New Orleans. Uh-huh.
And then today he sends copy for a live read for you guys.
Yeah.
And I showed it to you. He emails it, and he can't even read anything. He, like, scanned or took a digital picture of the piece of paper.
Yeah, instead of just typing it up and emailing it.
Well, typing would take too much time. So
he's still drunk from Mardi Gras.
Yeah, I think he is.
Yeah, he never sobered up.
And if you want to see, they have pictures of that stupid shirt at the calendar section of eatabullet.com.
Wow. Oh God. Just
we gave you a plug for Town Hall April 18th. Tickets through Ticketmaster.
Pulled into the station, just came to a complete stop.
I really stink, you're right.
On aboard. Paul Mercurio.
Hey, guys.
Paul Mercurio.
On the Daily Show on Comedy Central. Look at him showing off.
What an exciting day for you.
I'd like to thank
only
Jim Norton, no one else, for this award.
Look at that friggin'
I
Emmy.
I really debated about bringing this thing. I said, you guys are going to give me a load of crap, but I got to bring it in because you were asking me about it the last time.
I wanted to see that.
That's
and there it is. That is
this
a
is
real.
That's an Emmy, dude.
That is a real live Emmy.
Can I hold it? I'll be here.
Absolutely.
You bring respectability to our show by showing up with an Emmy.
How cool is that?
Now, can we have a girl do the wiffle ball bat challenge with this thing?
Oh, would that be great?
Wiffle ball bat challenge, and we can drink from it like the Stanley Cup.
Right? Yeah.
Can I get a paper cup? Hang on a second.
Oh, you can put the cup in between the wings and the big globe thing she's holding, and we'll drink from his Emmy.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
Isn't that very cool?
That's not one of those...
It's really, really nice.
Well, no, you're just all of a sudden going like, my show on TV when I finally get one.
I was rehearsing.
Just rehearsing as you hold.
The guy's selling out big venues. What am I doing? I'm warming up 100 people for John.
Well, obviously,
hey, everybody,
it's Emmy worthy.
Turn off your cell phones.
You won an Emmy, and I'm whoring plugs at 6:06. I'll take your life.
You got that for being a writer on The Daily Show with Jon Stewart.
Yes.
And they gave you an Emmy for that.
So
is it anything in particular or just an overall writing Emmy?
It was for the late night thing.
What the hell is
it? Geez. By the way, this entire award, which is like a foot, fits in my wife. All of it.
Wow. That's fascinating that you know that.
The base takes a little while.
Yeah, I would think it
that's
would.
That's the fun. You know, you work toward that.
Yeah, you work toward the base. It's a goal for you,
this
too.
This is Academy of Television Arts and Sciences. That sounds like a load of bull. Primetime Emmy Awards. Outstanding writing for a variety, music, or comedy program.
Hurry up!
The Daily Show with Jon Stewart, everybody.
Hurry up!
Paul Mercurio, writer. All right, okay, before I come up to accept my award, can everyone please...
We'll be back with more of the 2002 Emmy Awards.
Wait, I have a poll.
Right after these words.
You pulled this up with my Russell Crowe.
The music gets louder. Dude, that is so goddamn funny.
I get, okay, so then this is like...
It starts off so much like, I just want to say thank you. There are so many people I got to get to. I want to thank my lovely wife. I want to thank my agent, manager. All the people involved with the show have just been great. I know the music playing. I'm going to get this done really quick. I want to thank the production, the company, and most of all, I do want to thank everybody else that works on the show. Without them, I would not be able to accept this award. There are so many other people that...
We'll be back with more of the 2002 Emmy Awards show.
I want to thank the guy who's cutting me out.
I want to thank...
Go F yourself, you mother ever! It's my moment!
We didn't get to go, you know, because of the thing.
What?
The thing.
I couldn't go because of the thing.
The thing, you heard?
It's the thing. When men were dinosaurs.
Dinosaurs, you hear? I hear me.
Hey, you know, I think I know Paul Mercurio well enough to state something here. I would bet a lot of money that Paul had nothing to do with Jon Stewart being topless on the Grammys.
Oh, man.
It just didn't seem like your style of writing there, my friend.
I think John's a very talented guy.
Did you help out with some of the writing?
You do this to me every time I come here.
Did you help out with some of the writing for John? On the?
No. I personally didn't.
Why? You're a goddamn Emmy Award-winning writer.
John's a funny guy. He didn't need to help me out, Norton.
writing for a variety of music.
John can appreciate us making you uncomfortable. Don't worry about it.
No, I'm cool. Yeah, no, I didn't have anything to do with... He's going to be on SNL a week from tomorrow, actually.
It was very uncomfortable looking at John without his shirt on the other night.
Was David Niven presenting something?
Oh, good reference. Nice. Academy Awards, 1972, I believe.
I like before the Emmys.
Everybody, John is going to come out soon to be hosting this Emmy Award show. My name's Paul Mercurio. Remember, turn those cell phones off. We left you some chocolate on the seats. You can eat that to get that energy level up. And remember, no yelling anything out. Show John the energy. He feeds off of your energy.
You
are such an important part of this show.
How did you know I say that? I do say that line.
Do you?
He feeds off your energy. Oh, I totally.
He feeds off your energy and your jizz. So if you could just whip a match up.
Actually, I feed off your jizz. So just direct it toward me.
I feed off of John's jizz.
That's
we
got
to get this straight.
And then I eat out his A with a spoon.
Hey, that's what it says on the Emmy.
Yeah.
John's A with a spoon.
For eating out John's A with a spoon, the winner is...
Well, that's great.
Well, did you enjoy him topless on the Grammys there?
Yeah, I thought, you know, I think I'm having a heart attack. Hold on.
Hey, you'll be the second one today.
You
got
to drink from the cup, Anthony.
Oh, right. Yes. Oh.
Even though two other men drank from it already.
Right, and I washed...
That's all right. It's not like it's a mule. That was last night. Oh, you laugh now, Norton.
You have five guys in front of you. The lights are off. You guess who's who by the size.
Why not? Men having fun.
We all laughed.
That is supposed to be Art holding... That's an atom.
Atom. That she is holding in her lightning bolt-like wings, and she is looking up, and
like
she has kind of a nice ass.
She's kind of like a B cup.
Hey, has a nice... Yeah. Yeah,
holding an atom?
She's got a little body.
Merger of art and science. I don't know what that's called.
Can I smash it?
Just, lick. just grab it. Look at this. Oh,
no, you know what's better?
What happens if you drop that?
Just a dab of Vaseline. At first, I would curl up in a ball and start crying.
Could you get that replaced?
Yeah, but I think it's like a couple $1,000.
All right, hold on, you guys.
Can I buy one for just a couple of grand?
You know what? It comes with styrofoam. You could actually pour something into the mold. You could just
mold one yourself.
They bought that for me. I didn't have to pay for that, which is pretty cool. I thought I was going to have to
hold on,
pay
for
they make you pay for your own Emmy sometimes?
I didn't know, because we got a Peabody Award and I had to pay for that.
Well, you know what it is? There's probably a few writers that get the Emmy for this, so you have to divvy it up, and you got to buy your own Peabody Award?
That's sad.
My dad gave me a little trophy for running a one-mile race when I was 12. I didn't come in first, but it was just for finishing.
Oh, God.
It has a little guy jogging
on
it.
My dad gave me the same one when he violated me.
Yeah.
It was sort of just something
to little,
remember the moment.
It was a little finger up to the knuckle.
Or it's just a big trophy teardrop. A little cotton candy around the base.
I got the little golden shopping bag in the toilet stall.
Throbbing red anus. Bronzed. You know, like you hang bronze booties from
Right. It's just a little Cheerio, bronze Cheerio.
With a little butt lint right next to it.
A little lint. A little shopping.
You don't. You put it on a stall on the mantle. You open it up.
Yeah, you open it up, and there you are, tear in your eye, confused little
look. And you hit the button, it turns around, it goes, turned left.
Hey, guys, we got to get Tom on the phone real fast here. Tom from New Orleans, what's up, bro?
How you guys doing?
I'm doing great, Tom. My bad. We heard about your latest F-up.
Well, I mean, as long as they didn't screw the stickers up, the shirts can be fixed.
The stickers didn't get screwed up. There was a problem with the order.
We had a little problem with the order.
Problem with the order. The stickers are fine.
The stickers will be fine.
My bad.
Let's just hope.
So what happened with the shirts there, Tom?
Well, it wasn't my fault. I did everything on my end was done correctly. We had a promotion girl.
From your pattern of speech, I totally believe you.
1 foot out the door and 1 foot in. And I mean, you know, I gave her the sticker. I told her to just change the top to extreme. And somehow that didn't get done. So let's just keep our fingers crossed that it got done for the sticker, huh?
Well, we got an idea. We want to cross out the back of the shirt and then right at the bottom, my bad.
That's perfect. So should we keep all those and that'll be a collector's item?
Yeah, just make an X through the sticker and write my bad.
You know, Tom reminds me of, so the finished Stonehenge monument's going to follow these exact contours. When we get the actual piece. No, this is the piece. This is the size. Have you ever been to Stonehenge? The triptych stand, three people against it.
Well, that's what you drew on the napkin.
F the napkin. I wanted a full-size goddamn reproduction of the Stonehenge Monument.
My bad.
Over here.
Did you get that copy?
I do declare.
How was that? Is that some great copy?
The copy, we can't read it because it looked like it was just scanned.
But I faxed one to Ben. He ought to have it on his freaking fax machine.
But, you know,
machine.
When you write in crayon, it doesn't fax well.
Why don't you go down to the general store and have Sarah type it up?
Boss, are you calling the president a murderer? You New Orleans boob.
Norton, you are an imbecile. You really are, Norton. I thought we bonded when you were down here.
Hey, I like you.
Lick your head, man.
Oh, that was awful.
I thought we bonded.
Hey, Tom.
And now you turn on me like that?
I like it, Tom.
What's the copy about?
Premier Mitsubishi, man. It's about these guys, Bishop and Owensby. They'll finance anybody in 2 minutes.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Well, why don't you send us some copy we can read?
What the hell is that?
You guys get to work.
What is that in the background?
That's the sales staff.
You should untie them.
Tom, we're off the air, they're saying.
No, we're not.
Problem with the boas.
So you got, I'm going to go down and get me a sarsaparilla and whittle me a spell.
I could, woo, his show is hot. I could use a mint julep.
It's called a hurricane, boy.
Still my heart.
It's called a hurricane.
I feel like a crawfish in the anus of a bull on a Wednesday afternoon in the hot July sun in New Orleans.
Hey, man.
That's how we say
come
it
down here and see
if
you can survive a week of partying down here, buddy.
Tom, they're going to tap dance on your head and say cock-a-doodle-doo. And good day to you, sir.
Norton, isn't some grade school, all-girl grade school getting let out right now? Can't you go do something?
I get it.
Hey, Tom, you got people coming into your office and just saying my bad to your face over and over again?
All day long, dude.
My bad.
All day long. Either my bad or how you guys doing?
How you guys doing?
Here it is. How you guys doing?
What's a couple of cold ones?
We got them all, bro.
I know.
My bad.
My bad.
All right, Tom.
Well, I know. All right, guys. And hey, man, to that imbecile that wrote that letter out in California, you'd think they'd get it out there, man. Tell them to turn the radio off. I got a 4-year-old and a 2-year-old, but they're both boys.
Yeah,
so
they're
cares?
Frying 7-year-old girls and leaving them on the side of the road. And this is
just
what he's
the 4-year-old, not the 2-year-old yet, man.
And you got a hot wife with big boobs that you like to show off on the internet.
That's right, baby.
It's hot, dude.
You like that? No, you like that?
Really hot. Very sexy.
Very nice.
All right, dude. Call Bishop and Owensby, Premier Mitsubishi.
Right.
And if you guys can do my copy, I'd love you. If you can't do it, well, I guess it's your bad.
We'll get to it.
We love you.
All right.
You're hot down here, man.
All right.
Extreme 94.9.
Let's just keep the radio on, okay?
The radio is on, man.
No more problems.
No more problems. You don't like problems.
Look at your call letters and remember them.
Yeah.
We have learned when the station is on, people listen to it. So.
Big time.
Fundamentally, people are suckers for the right call letters. And
big
the truth's
time.
On your side, Bubba.
You know that switch that says on-off? Tape it in the on position.
Right. Hey, remember, this is Louisiana, Chief. I mean, how do you know who your daddy is? Because your mama told you so.
Ah, yes. Michael Rooker. I cannot work with Bill Broussard anymore. Are you putting an ultimatum to me, Tom?
Yes.
All right, Tom.
All right, fellas.
All right.
Y'all behave. You got great numbers coming out here.
Y'all behave too there, Tom.
All right, I'm going to go grab a couple of cold ones.
Yes,
your mama told you.
Your mama told you. Pete wants to defend New Orleans now. Pete, what's up?
Hey, y'all doing?
Hey, what's up? What up, bro?
I think Tom is the biggest idiot in New Orleans. And you know what? How many times the station has screwed up since the last time?
There was one day
last week where we couldn't hear y'all at all.
What was on the air instead of us?
They put music on for like 45 minutes.
Freaking guy.
Man, y'all are awesome, but you know what? He doesn't even advertise y'all. It's like people like us that work out in the construction telling everybody else, hey, why don't y'all listen to these guys in the afternoons? Y'all are like the best thing in the afternoon.
Usually we get so pissed off, but he's such a character, you just gotta laugh.
You expect
it. Dude, he's the biggest fag. And that's not his wife. That's a prostitute he pays at CSI kid.
No, that is his wife.
That ain't his wife,
you know what
dude.
He needs? He needs Ed Asner to pistol whip him.
Dude, y'all rules are written. You're awesome. You need to come down here and show
Extreme Radio and smithereens.
All right, Pete.
I love y'all.
Take care. Yeah, I love y'all. There was a problem with the board. I got music in. It was supposed to be y'all's show.
Paul.
But I hit the wrong button on what they call the board.
We got to let Paul in on this. One day, getting phone calls like crazy from New Orleans. Dude, you're not on the air. It's just dead air. So we get a hold of Tom, and he had no clue, and he's in charge of the station. He's like, oh, wow, my bad. And
My bad. That's who he goes. My bad.
And it was dead air.
We're going to exaggerate, but it was probably, I don't know, 20, 30 minutes, right?
Yeah.
At least. And he had no clue. No clue.
It was Fat Tuesday during
he was
Mardi Gras.
Hungover from
his mind.
And he was so tanked. He came to pick us up at the airport when we got to New Orleans.
It was Fat Tuesday in his mind. It was actually 2 months later.
We got to the airport. We land in New Orleans. And Tom's there to greet us at the airport. He's got a drink in one hand. He's like, they let you drink at the airport. It's a great city. Y'all gonna enjoy being here in New Orleans because I bring a cooler with me everywhere.
Hang on a second. There's a guy next to me trying to light his shoe. Hang on.
Hang on. I'll get it. My bad.
let me tell you, because even the pilots on the airplanes drink here in New Orleans. The guy is a classic
I go down every year for Jazz Fest. I'm going again this year.
They want
oh, my bad.
For that. Come on down with Jazz Fest.
It's good. Nothing like seeing a 90-year-old overweight black guy on playing a washboard. It makes you just sort of reassess your whole life. And
that's why we're putting that on instead of the Opie and Anthony show.
Yeah, but you can't have a drunk guy running the board. That dog don't hunt.
Hey,
all the clips. And he said
we gotta wait for the delay to build up.
Yeah, that's all right. We're back.
We're back.
You know the first thing he said when someone called him and said you have dead air, he said, "Dagnammit."
Dagnammit.
That was the first.
Guys, we got Mary on the phone. Mary.
Hi.
Why are you calling us? We're in the middle of a nice little rap here.
Well, I called on Monday.
Okay.
About the 6 o'clock weave. I called for my car.
Oh yeah.
Do you remember? And then I came home, and my boyfriend had the radio on, and I heard the girl the other night. Was it Wednesday?
Uh-huh.
She did it. That sucked.
Right.
And so what's up with that? And you guys don't even do it anymore.
Well, what do you want to do?
Well, the guy I talked to on the phone, he's like, you want to do it, but, you know, I'm not, you know, in the state of mind yet. I mean, plus it'll be a crime scene.
Hey, that's okay. We love crime scene queef.
Yeah.
So what do you want to do? Pressure's on now. We got you live. We got the song here.
Yeah. Well, why don't you play the theme song and we'll see what pops up.
All right.
Ah, sure.
All right. Hold on.
It's not a burp. It's not a fart. It's not too sweet. It's not too tart. It's 6 o'clock. It's time for a queef. Blow out the candles. Make a wish. It's like a fart but smells like fish. It's 6 o'clock. It's time for a queef. Undo your pants. Let them drop to the floor. Tense up and let yourself roar. Queef.
That, by the way, is an Emmy Award-winning song for our 6 o'clock week.
We wrote that.
Well, that deserves a drink from the Emmy.
A drink from the Emmy.
That's what we write.
That's what we write now. When men were dinosaurs.
You hear right here, me.
I hear me.
All right, Mary.
I have a quick question before. Maybe, you know, just kind of...
Oh, the face.
Who's Mike and Don? Mike and Don,
the Don and Mike show. Not Mike and Don. It's the Don and Mike show.
Play the theme song. She needs some more time.
The Don and Mike show.
Are you ready to do this or what?
I am, but I have to get this out first because I want to know who they're because they're coming on before you guys down here in Philly. So I wanted to.
How about this, Mary? You find out for yourself.
There you go.
We got a show to do now. You want to do the 6 o'clock quick?
Yeah, sure. Hold on. Okay.
All right. Everyone, be quiet.
I just got out of the shower, so hold on.
Oh. Good.
Okay. Shh.
Hello?
Yeah.
How was that?
Smells like copper.
Ew.
It's not a burp, it's not a fart, it's not too sweet, it's not too tart, it's 6 o'clock.
Oh, bar of soap came out of there.
Woo! Yeah.
Blow out the candles, make a wish. It's like a fart, it smells like fish. It's 6 o'clock, it's not bar of grief. Undo your pants, let them drop to the floor. Tense up and let yourself run.
Queef! All right. Great. We better take a break. We're with Paul Mercurio today. Did you bring anything by today, Paul? You usually bring...
You know, the only thing I have is... what is this? This is a napkin from Gotham Comedy Club where I'll be this weekend. Wow.
Oh,
how did that happen?
Wow.
That just found it in my pocket.
You know something, though?
Was that written on the Emmy Award, too? Somewhere in that paragraph?
You can't get mad at the guy when he's holding an Emmy.
Absolutely not.
Look at that.
Look at him rubbing it in.
He's drinking from the Emmy. He figured out how to put the cup in between the wings and the atom.
It's my Stanley Cup.
Yeah.
And he's for everyone to drink from.
He's got a pinky in the air.
Holds it by the beautiful Emmy legs.
If I were you, I'd walk on stage with that Emmy and just tell jokes every time they don't laugh. Just go, F your mother, and hold the Emmy.
Hold it up.
You want an Emmy, Paul. It's amazing.
Wear it around your neck on a big gold chain like Flava Flav.
No, remember when we were doing open mic nights and dive bars around the city?
Yes.
And now you're... got selling out venues and
with and now I got an Emmy and you don't.
I got an Emmy.
Shut up.
You do two shows at Rascals on a Saturday. I stink.
Shut up.
All right, well,
and I wrote the lyrics for the 6 o'clock Willie O'Keefe. You're a handsome man, Mr. Gaskin.
We'll continue next.
The Opie and Anthony Show.
It's a squid.
It's a big squid.
It's a big squid.
Coming soon, the return of the 55-gallon drum challenge on the Opie and Anthony Show.
Opie and Anthony. 1027 WNEW.
Too hot.
Too hot. I like these boys. They're German, aren't they?
You're checking out the Opie and Anthony Show. Where's Rick? Kelly from Cleveland is here.
Yeah.
We finally figured out the dumpster trick. We got to tell Paul Mercurio we're doing this 55-gallon drum challenge, Paul. I think next Friday.
Okay.
We put 7 or 8 girls in these big, huge 55-gallon drums, and then we torture them all afternoon. And
you make them stay in there all afternoon.
For 4 straight hours, and the last girl that stays in the drum will walk away with
$2,000.
Whoa, $2,000. And we drop all sorts of crap into the drums. Last year, the showstopper was the hissing
Madagascar cockroaches. They're huge Indiana Jones cave size
Yeah.
They have bomber jackets.
They were huge. They were a gang.
Y'all.
The screams that came from.
They have cell phones.
The screams that came from the drums were unbelievable. This year, we are upping the ante, my friend.
Don't let the cat out of the bag. It's not 4 hours. She's just going to be in for a little while.
No,
she's going to qualify.
This is to qualify.
Hey, Kelly, why don't you tell Paul what you're going to do to qualify today?
I'm going to jump into a dumpster full of trash.
You're going to dumpster dive.
Oh, that's easy.
And it's dumpster. What's some of the contents? Have you looked in the dumpster?
Is it a good dumpster?
Well, some of the fine restaurants from the area use this dumper
Tell you, this contest is really tarnishing my Emmy. Hold on.
I know. Look at you. Emmy's got a drink from the Emmy a little more.
Ma'am, what type of undershorts do you have on?
Underwear and a bra.
Are they thongs?
Well, can we see?
No.
Really?
We can't see?
Yeah, you can see.
Yeah, look at you.
Right. Wow.
Hey. Yes.
Very nice.
There you go.
It's fruit of the loom. Very nice. Thong. Functional.
No, I just want to see because I was out. Look at the back because I was going to go at the thing. You have to lift the, because I was, okay.
Wow.
Yeah, Jim.
Oh, Norton is an ass man is what it is.
All right. So
he's just an ass man.
What's that tattoo on your left breast? What is that? Oh, it's a rose. It's a rose?
And a heart.
And a heart.
Oh, very nice.
It's got a heart on.
Right,
that old gag. All right, Rick, why don't you bring the lovely Kelly down to the dumpster? And Steve's going to tape it for foundrymusic.com. Have fun, Kelly.
Enjoy the decomposing rat.
But you got to
get it somewhere.
Well, Rick will make sure it happens the right way. She's got to, like, move around the dumpster and, you know.
Don't worry.
All right, we got Tom from New Orleans.
Have fun with it.
Back on the phone, and you know what?
Tommy. We had to call Tom back because we finally got the commercial copy.
My bad.
Do I have a copy of that?
Tom,
I got beer on my seersucker suit.
Tell me
how to get that stain of beer out of my seersucker suit.
We need that. We need that immediately.
You know what? There's some problems with the copy. Tom.
What?
There's problems with the copy.
Oh, my God. Listen out.
I figured that was.
I figured. Well, we're going to read it on the air, so they're going to get a free commercial.
Okay.
And, well, there's problems with it.
Okay.
Yeah, but we need the copy, though, because I want to read it as it is.
But we can fix
it.
We have an Emmy Award-winning writer in the studio.
Paul will help. Uh-oh. Paul's going to write your copy today.
My Emma.
All right.
Emma.
I got an Emma. My Emma Award.
Oh. All right.
Sweetie, have it.
All right, I'm one. And
that is a fine award.
I'm one, and Anthony's two. It'll be very obvious what the problem is here.
Let's see how quick everybody can figure out what the problem is with the copy, okay?
The copy.
I say it's with
the first line. I didn't write
this.
Well, you're in charge, don't you?
I love the lack of any responsibility Tom has for anything.
Well,
that
he had one of two choices. If he spent time proofreading, the board would go dead again and the entire station would be.
I'm monitoring the boa.
All right, Tom, here's our
here we go. Let's read this.
Hey.
What's your phone number?
Screw the phone number.
All right. Hold on.
Here we go. Hey, Anthony. Where'd you get the new car?
I got it at Premier Mitsubishi, Opie.
Tom?
Have you figured out the problem yet?
When will Anthony's car be arriving in New York City?
When am I getting my Mitsubishi? My Premier Mitsubishi?
I'm going to call the guy tomorrow. Make sure it's coming.
And then, Opie, read the next line because it's now I'm getting bashed. Let's start from the beginning.
Yeah, this is not a knock against Mitsubishi. If they want to give Anthony a free car, I'm sure he'll drive it.
Well, I think if off the bat, Anthony's not committing to that first line. What's your motivation for saying
okay,
that?
Okay, Opie, read the line. Go all the way down to the bottom of that first one.
Well, no, I want to start over. Here
okay.
we go. Because I think I can do it better.
Okay.
Hey, Anthony, where'd you get the new car?
I got it at Premier Mitsubishi, Opie.
Yeah, I've seen your credit. Who co-signed for you?
Okay, Tom.
Tom,
I see the problem there. What am I now? I'm an old poor boy. Can't afford a new car. I have bad credit. All of a sudden, I got, like, lousy credit. I'm a scofflaw. Well, Opie, I've been running from the law for robbery.
I'm syndicated in 33 markets, and I can't get a credit card.
I need a co-signer.
And by the way, it says, hey, where you get the new car? Who wrote this? What southern idiot wrote, where you get the new car?
Hey, Anthony, where you get the new car?
You know, I was helping his writing, but yeah, it makes
where
it better.
Where you get new car?
All right, we'll start again. Let's see if there's any other problems.
Okay.
hey, Anthony, where you get the new car?
I got it at Premier. I got it at Premier Mitsubishi Open.
Yeah, I've seen your credit, man. Who co-signed for you?
Man, I went and saw the Bishop and Owensby. They get everybody approved, and most don't need a co-signer, man.
Well, what if you don't have any credit or you have bad credit, man?
Bishop and Owensby at Premier Mitsubishi can handle any credit, good or bad.
It's like a Japanese guy from the 60s wrote this.
And have you handled in less than 10 minutes.
Premier Mitsu.
Mitsu.
Yeah, it's like that little hip familiar.
Get the lingo, man.
Premier Mitsu can handle.
This stinks.
You really should be sterilized for this.
Awful.
Yeah,
I already am.
You know what it is, Tom? The
what?
We've never been good with the pre-written Opie Anthony back and forth banter scripts.
Gotcha.
Never ever good. Always gotcha. Comes off sounding
like
bad.
I like the note. Ben, well, tell O and A they can definitely go off the coffee.
Boy, I did. That was me.
Yeah, I know. It's important that you gave them that permission.
They just want to get the point across that anyone can get financed in 2 minutes.
In 2 minutes.
Hey, I'll go off the coffee.
Okay.
Hey, Anthony, screw your great new car. I need some Coke. Where's Tom?
He's making show of the station still on the air.
I know you can drink in the airport.
He's drinking in the airport. Tom, maybe you should feed your radio station some Coke and it'll stay on all night long.
I might have to come. It might come to that one day, you know.
You could drive away in a brand new Mitsubishi, in one hand the steering wheel, in the other a brimming ice cold hurricane.
A hand grenade
as you leave the showroom floor in your new Mitsubishi. You could be doing 90 miles an hour with a drink in each hand.
Drive with your knees as you go through the crawfish drive-thru. Crawfish Monica.
Oh, God.
Well, Tom, how about a rewrite, and we'll see what you got for us.
All right, I'll take care of this personally.
Rewrite it so that there are no words on the page.
Okay. You just kind of want to know the name of the place, the car they sell.
Are you more drunk
number.
From the last time we talked to you? Like 20 minutes later, you sound more hammered.
How about, hey, Anthony, my neck hurts. I have cancer. I've had it for years.
Really?
I just wanted to be a priest, live in a monastery, serve God,
and they defrock me.
You know every line.
I know. How many times did
That's
you see
scary.
JFK?
It's 40.
40 times.
Yeah,
it ties
I bet. In New Orleans.
It's so good.
Very
it's
good.
Such a great movie.
You saw that movie? That
it's a guy's film. You find me one chick that can sit through that. Like, no action, dummies. Not one girl I've ever effed can get through JFK without saying something stupid or broad-like.
Hold on. We're throwing a girl in a dumpster soon. Calm down. You'll feel
I'm going to read. I'll read it for you. Though.
All right, Tom. All right,
I'm making
Tom.
A stop. I'm making my nightly stop on the way home.
Thank you. Much obliged to you, Tom.
Getting
much
a cold,
obliged.
Getting a cold one. You know what I mean?
No, he's really stopping for beer right now.
Right now.
He's the guy that we're betting on.
Enjoy the keg.
You want to talk to the cashier?
Yeah, let's talk to the cashier.
Okay.
Tom, you know the rules. Tell them they're on the air.
Okay, I will. I know the rules.
Hey,
how y'all doing?
How you
guys doing?
Go ahead.
All I need to get is this one beer.
She's going, you're the idiot that wrote that copy for Premier Mitsubishi? Get out of my store.
Put it on the radio.
Let's see.
How you doing?
Tom.
Hey.
Tom, put it on the phone.
84. All right. Here.
Let's see.
Opie and Anthony, we do a radio show down here.
Wait,
I just want to ask you something. I'm actually there from New York.
Can I get my bag?
I'm sorry.
She's going to slap you upside your head.
Wait, what's her problem there, Tom?
Hello.
Hi. How you doing?
How you doing?
Hey,
I'm fine.
What's your name?
Jamil.
Jamil, what did Tom over there just buy?
Right now?
Yeah.
It's 5:45.
What? No. No one said what time it is, stupid. What did Tom just buy? Listen.
Huh.
What did he just buy?
A beer.
How much beer?
Hello? 24. Miller Lite.
Miller Lite?
34 ounce?
24 ounce.
Oh, 24 pack?
Yeah. No, 24 ounce Miller Lite.
Did you float over on a raft? What are you talking about?
I want to see your green card.
All right.
Like everybody in line is getting really pissed off at me.
I bet. Well, they got to get their Funyuns and beer. They got to get home. Wheel of Fortune is about to come on. They don't have a life. What are they worried about?
Hey, Tom, put a gal on the phone. Let's say hi to a gal.
You wanted to?
All right, yeah, Tom, they're on the air, though. Out.
How
Hold
about
on.
A Southern Belle?
Let me get back up.
We're going to get a Southern Belle. Right, a nice Southern Belle on the air.
Oh, I don't know. Nice,
I do declare your poop shoot is the most pretty.
We're kind of in a...
Instead of getting a, you know, Southern
a bad Belle, neighborhood, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do declare
you know what
Tom
saying?
Is some kind of a man.
Mendacity.
You're
going to
get... You're not getting a Southern Belle here, boys, believe me.
she might
be getting Queen Latifah's angry young sister, but she's coming out. She's
well,
got
as
a
soon
saint,
as she's done military saint, pressing, have her come to the phone.
Wait, he's waiting
saint,
for the lady
saint
to
leave. A saint jacket on with some baggy jeans.
Yeah,
he's waiting outside.
And hold on, I'm waiting out Todd.
All right.
Hey, how you doing, man? This is Opie and Anthony from New York to do a radio show. Uh-huh. I just wanted to talk to you on the air. They're syndicated in like 50 markets.
Oh, okay.
Big numbers. Hold on.
Okay.
Opie and Anthony.
Hello?
How you doing, baby?
Okay, how you doing?
What's your name?
My name is Kathy.
Tom?
Yes, sir?
Kathy, Tom was supposed to pick the ugliest woman in that parking lot. Are you right. The ugliest woman in that parking lot?
Oh, that's what he's probably been doing?
Yes.
Tom, why would you do that to me?
He just told me you start picking the ugliest woman in the
parking lot. No, I'm not the ugliest woman.
He's
gone. She threw the phone down.
Effing brilliant. That's great.
Give that Emmy to Norton
right now.
You
go. That's
Holy
great.
Jesus Christ.
We're all
the funniest goddamn thing.
We're all trying to flip it,
and you nailed it.
Nailed it.
Rick's downstairs.
Holy!
That was too goddamn funny.
I need to hear that again.
Immediately.
We're running out of time on the show.
Oh, you don't do that!
Oh, Tom! Tom!
They told me you were supposed to pick the ugliest woman.
Oh my God!
Hey, Rick. Rick.
He's probably having a problem with the phone already.
Oh, boy.
We have a girl downstairs. She's supposed to jump in a horrid restaurant dumpster to qualify for the 55-gallon drum challenge.
Wait a minute. Tom's calling back.
I think it got hung up.
Tom.
Hey.
Hey, what happened, man?
I think you might...
How you doing, man?
He threw the phone at me.
Turn the radio down, Tom.
It's down.
Oh, okay.
I'm no rookie.
God damn, that was funny.
What'd she do to you?
She said, you tried to lie to this woman in the parking lot, Tom. And then she said something else to you, and then the other girl that was in line hitting her Funyuns. She hollered at. She was hollering at her. Come on, leave him alone. And then she threw the phone at me and left.
Tom,
hung me out to dry there.
You know,
you hung me out to dry there. I need a drink.
We could do 20 minutes on this, but we're running out of show.
Yeah.
So, Tom, have a good weekend,
Tom,
man.
Tom, thanks,
man. You guys
man.
Too, man. All and right. I'm going to rewrite that copy.
All right.
You're always you, fun, Tom.
God, he never disappoints. We're going to have to wait.
She threw the phone at me.
Classic.
We're going to have to wait till Monday to replay that, unfortunately.
Oh, that is classic, Norton.
Rick is,
goddamn Norton.
Rick is back at the dumpster. Rick.
Rick.
Oh, Rick.
Hello?
Yeah, what's up?
Hey, Rick.
Dirty, stinky.
You know what? We know what she's going to do. She'll be in on the 55-gallon drum challenge, and you can check out the video later tonight or this weekend.
Picture, if you will.
On foundrymusic.com.
Right now, a woman being hurled into a dumpster. It smells like fish and shrimp and
but
rotting
enough about
meat.
Her.
But let's get to the dumpster.
Elmo.
Hey.
Hey, what's up, bro?
Well, it's hard to follow that, but it's kind of a what did I learn today. That reporter who said that you guys have an effect on children.
The reporter.
I decided to do a little experiment with your niece and nephew.
Oh, God. Uh-oh.
This is my brother, and he's with my niece and nephew.
Uh-oh.
Oh, boy.
One boy, one girl, obviously. I sat him in front of one of those light FM stations for a while.
Yeah.
And after an hour, they were giggling, sharing their juice cups, singing Purple Dinosaur tunes. You know, everything was nicey nice.
Uh-huh.
Then I switched the station to the O&A show. Within minutes, Jamie was crying hysterically. JD was calling her a bitch and a C and slapping her on the butt.
Dude, Holly is going to kill you.
See?
Wait, then he starts throwing a hissy fit because the Playboy station doesn't have nakedness until 8 o'clock or so. So the only way to calm him down was to show him Mike's extensive pornography collection.
Oh my God.
But now after listening to you guys for almost an hour, Jamie's trying to say the word queef. You know how hard it is for a two-year-old to pronounce a Q? And J.D. wants me to take him to a strip joint, but I don't have a car seat for him.
You are horrid, man.
So
Holly is going to slap you silly.
Well, that's what I learned today.
All right, thank you.
Bye.
I have a very effed up family, Paul.
Yeah, that's great.
Can we play the audio real fast?
Oh, we can. Good.
We're going to leave with this. Screw what did we learn today. We ran out of time. Paul Mercurio at the Gotham.
Yeah.
Comedy Club.
Thanks, guys.
This weekend.
Yes.
Anything else?
Nah, that's cool.
Emmy Award winning writer.
Thank you, brother.
Emmy Award winner.
At the Gotham Comedy Club.
All kidding aside,
go
dude,
see Norton at Town Hall. Cool. Very funny.
No, enough about April 18th. I don't want to hoard that ticket master. Who cares?
Thursday night.
All right,
7:30.
We got to play the audio real fast.
Yeah, let me hear
that. And we'll see you guys Monday. Waiting outside.
And hold on, I'm waiting out Todd.
All right.
Hey, how you doing, man? This is Opie and Anthony from New York to do a radio show.
Uh-huh.
I just wanted to talk to you on the air. They're syndicated in like 50 markets.
Oh, okay.
Big numbers. Hold on.
Okay.
Opie and Anthony.
Hello.
How you doing, baby?
Okay. How you doing?
What's your name?
My name is Kathy.
Tom.
Yes, sir.
Kathy, Tom was supposed to pick the ugliest woman in that parking lot. Are you the ugliest woman in that parking lot?
Oh, that's what he's probably been asked.
Yes.
Oh, Tom, why would you do that to me?
He just told me you're supposed to pick the ugliest woman in the parking lot.
No, they didn't. Oh, why would you do
that?
Okay.
Oh, man.
No, I'm not the ugliest
woman. He's gone. She threw the phone down.
Thanks for calling, and here's the Opie and Anthony FU line.
Yeah, how you doing? This is Scott from Philadelphia, and I want to send out a huge FU to myself. Stephanie wins the contest. I voted for over and over again. I talked her up. Now what happens? Now she won, and she's going to go get her F on with some other guy in hedonism. I suck. F me.
Next message.
I just wanted to send a big you out to all the uneducated but very opinionated fat women that are in my sociology of women class, because all they complain about is how women face all these challenges and all whatnot, whatever they have to say. Well, you get off of your fat asses and start working. That's it. I feel better. Thank you.
Next message.
Yeah, I'd like to leave a big you to the Pennsylvania road system. I'm stuck on the Pennsylvania Turnpike. I went the wrong f***ing way, and now I'm going 30 minutes in the wrong f***ing way, and I can't get off! I can't f***ing get off. F*** you, Pennsylvania.
End of message.
When in New York City, stay at the Park Central New York, 7th Avenue, near Broadway Theaters and Central Park. 1-800-346-1359.
The Opie and Anthony Show.
N-E-W on the next Ron and Fez.
After O&A, listen to Ron and Fez, where you can win a trip to Avanti Spa.
Be the first caller when you hear Sweet Melissa moan.
Oh, my pussycat.
That's her pussycat?
Yeah, it's a short head.
I think it hissed at me.
1027 WNEW.
All right, people, it's time to take that car you're in and drive it straight to your local Sea-Doo dealer. Why, you ask? Well, besides the fact that the most amazing watercraft in the industry are there year in and year out, right now, Sea-Doo Watercraft has an awesome offer for you. If you buy any new Sea-Doo Watercraft between January 1st and February 28th, 2002, you'll receive free maintenance for a year and free second-year best contract. That's complete coverage with nothing to worry about. This is the ideal time to see the new line of Sea-Doo Watercraft and upgrade to the all-new 155-horsepower technologically advanced 4-stroke GTX Vortec before you experience the envy of seeing someone else out on the water riding their own. So you know what you need to do? Get over to your local authorized Sea-Doo dealer, ask questions, and see for yourself why there are more Sea-Doo watercraft on the water than any other watercraft in the industry. So come on down or call Brooklyn Cycles on Coney Island Avenue in Brooklyn, 718-339-4700, or JetSport in Huntington Station, New York, 631-427-4400 for more information.
Hotwire is the one place to go for a great hotel deal every time. Hey, it's Tom from Hotwire. When I tell people you can stay at a four-star hotel for a two-star price, they're intrigued. When I show them the Hotwire hot rate, the special hotel prices that are only available on Hotwire, then they're believers.
Three-star hotel, Manhattan.
$89.
That's wonderful.
Four-star hotel, downtown Denver, what do you think?
Probably like $150 a night.
Hotwire's hot rate in a hotel room?
$49.
$49.
I'm very impressed.
San Francisco.
Yeah.
Four-star hotel. Hotwire's hot rate is?
$74. No, that can't be right.
A Hotwire hot rate on a four-star hotel for downtown Los Angeles is?
Oh, wow.
$54.
Pretty good.
That is. No, that's all.
Yeah,
good,
that
though,
because I quit it.
Hotwire is the place to use your